This is the Preparedness Radio Network, preparing you for natural and man-made disasters. Helpful tips on gardening and homesteading. Be prepared. And remember, preparedness saves lives. This is the Preparedness Radio Network.
It's the 21st century, a dangerous world. Preppers need food and medicine. Why not have the best? Enterfood.com does the shopping, prep, and packaging for you using the best organic ingredients on the planet. Right now, specials are available for listeners of this station. The all-organic vegetarian food storage pail and the herbal medicine cabinet. The pail holds up to 120 flavorful meals, super packed fresh to last up to 15 years, soaked, cooked, or raw. The herbal medicine cabinet holds everything you'll need to cure common ailments. Use these items in an emergency or use them when camping. You can't beat these prices. Call to order now. 866-762-9238. 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. Enerfood.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
BHM Radio is on the air on the Preparedness Radio Network. BHM Radio is the official show for Backwoods Home Magazine, expanding the stories you love in print live across the net. And now, your hosts for BHM Radio, Colorado Ron and Bubba DaVinci.
Hey, 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 it's Bubba DaVinci with Colorado Ron, and you are listening to Backwoods Home Magazine's Self-Reliance Exposed. We are here every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You out there, Colorado?
Already?
Yeah, already? So it's been about almost 3 weeks since we've been on the air together. Are you there? Okay, it looks like I lost him already. So maybe it'll be 4 weeks before we actually get on the show together. So, last week I was gone. And the week before that, we had Colorado Ron had gone on his anniversary, and I was on with Doc Bones and Nurse Amy. And, even this week, although we are on together, Colorado Ron has decided to jump out and hit the road again. The man does not stay still. And I'm still seeing. I can't see Colorado Ron on, so I'll keep going until he pops back up. I'll let him tell you where he's at this week. Let me guess. You hit mute again.
No. As soon as I started talking, the call just dropped. I don't know what happened.
Okay. Yeah, as I was saying, you're on the road. It's been 3 weeks. It's been 3 weeks since we've been on the show together. And now that we're on the road together, you've decided to take another trip, and you're calling via phone, so I expect lots of drops today.
I sure hope not. Yeah, I'm out here in Missouri. So,
Missouri. Misery, as I said when I was in the service, misery.
Yeah.
Just because it was either always cold or humid, one of the two, or both at the same time. And what are you doing out in Misery?
Well, there's a USA Prepares Expo going on down in Springfield this weekend, and wanted to go down there and show my support and congratulate him on an expo. So heading out and checking it out this morning.
Right. And for those of you who don't know, USA Prepares is run by a friend of ours, Vincent Vanelli. Yeah. If that isn't a name that doesn't sound like it should be in a mafia movie, Vincent Vanelli.
Yeah, for sure.
It totally sounds like a Guido. So, but anyway. You know, Vincent lives, I believe, in Springfield, Missouri, or in that surrounding area. And Vincent is one of the people that we like to associate with for the simple reason that he really believes in being prepared. And he's doing his own expo there. And as Colorado Ron said, we like to support the people who are supporting the industry.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it'll be pretty exciting to check it out and see what they got going on. So, but, yeah, that's why I'm out of town this week. Again.
That's a good thing. He's got some pretty exciting things going on there. Actually, a lot of the vendors are the vendors that we have at our shows on a regular basis. So I'm glad to see that they're getting a little more exposure, got another event out there.
Yep.
So besides being on the road, you know, We've got a pretty exciting show today. We've got our guest is David Lee, and David Lee has been a writer for Backwoods Home Magazine for quite some time, and his expertise is in alternative home building. And his website, if you have a chance before he gets on here in about 10-15 minutes to the audience, is www.unrulyelf.com. That's UNRULYELF.com.
Yeah, and I read that twice.
Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because as he's talking about these things, he is a prepper. He's, like I said, he's a regular in Backwoods Home Magazine. But the stuff this guy creates is beyond imagination. He creates, I'm going to call it, and he's probably going to correct me, I would almost call it fantasy homes. If you were to look at his stuff, I would say, you know, Tolkien, the Lord of the Rings style stuff, very fantasy, would come to life, is his genre. And have you taken a look at some of the pictures, Colorado?
I did. They're pretty wild. And I'm glad you gave everybody his web address here before we start, because if you guys start looking through those, it's pretty crazy. I was shocked when I went to the website the first time.
Right. So I think this is going to be an interesting discussion, because I got to figure out, you know, I mean, they look really cool. I mean, some of them look like something I would, you know, put my, you know, build or have someone build for my daughters as a playhouse. You know, as opposed to something that you physically live in, but yeah, you know, he's got some pretty cool designs.
Yeah,
and then later we're going to be talking to about a half a dozen of our show hosts. We hit 1 million downloads last week.
1 million downloads.
Exactly. Hey, I'm glad you're doing the impressions today. yeah, a million downloads. I know, it was terrible. I mean, I'm sure you were kind of pointing like there was Mini-Me next to you. But did you have your finger to your mouth?
I did.
Yeah. 1 million downloads. So we hit 1 million downloads, and that's a huge thing for us. And so we wanted to talk to some of the people that helped us get there. And so today we'll be talking to Vicki Lynn Haycraft, Ray Gano, Donna Miller, Sylvia Britton, John Wesley Smith, Amy and Joe Alton, and the infamous Dr. Prepper, James T. Stevens. And
that's quite a lineup.
Yeah, that is quite a lineup, isn't it? I mean, I almost feel like we're important.
Almost.
Almost. I never quite get there. I feel more impotent than important sometimes.
But you know who else we should talk to?
Who's that?
We should bring in the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, you know something? That's an excellent idea. Let's do that real quick right now.
Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Steve.
Guys, what's up?
How's it going?
Posting over on Facebook.
This is Steve Mistaretta. He is our show producer. Actually, he's the show producer for almost all the shows. The man behind the curtain, a.k.a. the almighty Oz.
That's right. The man that never sleeps.
That's right. So, hey, Steve. Let's kind of start this off today by saying, thank you for everything you've done to help us get to 1 million.
My pleasure.
And just for the sake of kind of going through and starting us off today, how did you get into prepping?
Actually, I learned some skill sets in the Army, and then had a few lean years myself, and really got into gardening very, very heavily, and that's what got the ball rolling. Was actually Jim Kennard, the family garden doctor, who's on Friday night. He's the one that got me into gardening.
Very cool. And how long have you been with PRN?
I'll be coming up on 2 years now.
2 years. So you're kind of one of the pioneers for our group.
Yes. I James brought me on, and I really admire what he does and what the whole team is doing. So I'm having a really good time doing this.
Awesome. Ron, you there?
I am here.
Okay.
You know, Steve, one of the questions I had real quick for you is, did you have experience doing show hosting before you jumped on with PRN?
No, I didn't, actually. It was quite a interesting learning curve.
I can imagine. And now you're doing all the shows.
Right.
Yeah. And he has to deal with people like us not turning in our show notes and descriptions and things like that. So not only is he show producer, but he's mother hen.
Absolutely.
Everybody's gotten pretty good about it, so it makes my life a lot easier.
All right. Hey, we should probably getting ready to get going. But, hey, Steve, thank you very much for everything you've done to get us to the 1 million.
Thanks.
You're very welcome.
All right. Hi, guys. That was Steve. I always butcher everybody's name. I think it's Mistaretta. Or is it Rita?
Mistaretta.
Mistaretta. Okay. Yep. So that was good.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we're gonna be jumping on in about 5 minutes with David Lee. But before I do, can I throw something out there, Colorado?
And if I said no?
Well, then I would just move on and let you jump on to something else.
Of course.
Okay. So, guys, I'm going to take a serious moment here. I actually blew up my new soundboard the other day. We had a board meeting, and the board meeting got so hot and heavy that it actually melted my soundboard. So I can't play all my fun background noises. Otherwise, I'd put on mood music right now, serious, ominous music. I wanted to give a shout out to Ron's wife Heather. She sent me a nice note yesterday saying she was thinking about my family and saying a prayer, and I appreciate that. And for those of you guys who don't know, you know, Ron and his wife went on their anniversary, and then when they came back that the following week, it was like a horrendous 10 days for me and my family. We had a tornado that came through our town. Luckily, none of that, my family's, you know, we have an extended family, I have lots of brothers-in-laws and sisters-in-laws, but none of the houses got completely demolished like some in town, and we had no deaths in our little town, so that was good. Although the governor had to come out and declare a state of emergency because the school was gone, the hospital was gone, it was pretty torn up. And we did have a lot of incidental damage. You know, brother-in-law, Deputy Dan, who some of you guys have met at the events, lost all the windows on the side of his house. His roof was damaged. And this is a brand new place. We just got finished. You know, my father-in-law had all his windows on one side and the skylights busted out. I mean, it's small stuff in comparison. Then I had to go relive my go to a wrongful death suit for my mother and do that in hospital. And then this last weekend, I had to put my grandmother into hospice. And, you know, I'm not saying all this because of, you know, I'm trying to make everybody give everybody a downer or things like that. But when I got into the self-reliance, you know, a lot of people think how easy it's going to be and how life is all going to change when you do this, because you talk about being self-reliant, you're going to be off on your own, nothing's going to affect you, you're going to be able to do this, do that, and you know, real life still hits you. You know, not only is being self-reliant a difficult road on its own, you know, all the extra work that you have to do and everything else, and believe me, it's gratifying doing it, but you're still going to have normal life that jumps in there and completely throws you off track. And if we've been lucky enough to talk to Jackie Clay and, you know, Patrice Lewis, and they'll all tell you stories. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Ron, but Jackie, in the middle of doing her move, lost her husband and continued to do her stuff. Isn't that correct?
That is correct, yeah. I mean, bare land, and we're starting to build a house right in the middle of that.
Yeah, I mean, talking about hardship, talking about real life jumping into the middle of your dream of doing something like this. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I think the biggest thing that I've learned on this journey over the last year is being self-reliant has nothing to do with being alone. The best thing that you guys can do for what you're trying to build and what you're trying to do is get a good, solid community base around you, whether that's family, whether that's being blessed with friends like Ron and Heather, whether it's your church, you know, or just the neighbors and everything else. There is no way that any of us are going to survive anything or be able to take that jump from being, you know, part of the system to becoming more self-reliant if you don't bring in community. And this last week was a good lesson for me. Ron and the entire board of directors and everything else were very supportive of me, of what was going on in my life. And, you know, I thank each one of them. And I especially thank Heather for taking the extra couple seconds and sending that message. So community, guys, you know, this is one of the first big life lessons that we're learning on this thing is community and family is everything.
Absolutely. Very well said. Very well said.
So with that, let me see. We are a couple minutes out. I think we should take a break.
We should take a break before we get him on.
Let's take a break, and when we come back here, we should have. We'll have David Lee back on with us. So let's go ahead and go to break.
Okay.
You're listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Want to reduce your dependence on the electrical grid? Trying to save money on groceries? Preparing for a major power outage? We can help. Layman's is your source for everything you need for heat, food, light, and water when there is no power. Glenda Lehman Irvin here for Layman's in Kidron, Ohio. My father, Jay Lehman, founded our store in 1955 to serve the local Amish with non-electric appliances, tools, and houseware items. Today, through our website, laymans.com, a print catalog, and a retail store, we provide oil lamps, water pumps, wood stoves, canning supplies, and hand tools to customers all over the world. If you think it isn't made anymore, check with Layman's before you give up. Visit laymans.com or call us at 1-877-438-5346 for a free catalog, or just stop by. We're located about an hour south of Cleveland.
Looking for power grid independence? The Humless Solar Kit is the answer. Increasing brownouts in the U.S. suggest it's time to get a backup. The problem is gas generators are messy, require maintenance, and oh, gas, which may be scarce in a real emergency. Get the Humless Solar Kit by itself or with a 1,000-watt Humless Sentinel generator. The kit includes a 100-watt solar panel, 20-foot extension cord, LED floodlight, rechargeable flashlights, and more. Become a fan at Humless.com or on Facebook. Thanks for listening to a word from our sponsors. Now, back to the show on the Preparedness Radio Network.
Hey, you're back with Backwoods Home Magazine Self-Reliance Exposed with Colorado Ron and Bubba Da Vinci. How you guys? How you doing out there, Colorado?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It's partly cloudy and about 70 degrees.
That's, oh, wow. What's the temperature out there?
I believe it's at 70 degrees.
Wow, we're getting it's been pretty nasty. There was a storm that was blowing from the south up north to us here in Iowa through Missouri, and it brought some pretty nasty cool weather. I was really surprised.
Yeah, it's when we landed last night, it was it was raining and pretty cool. And then this morning I checked the weather and they said it was 70 degrees, but it was planning on getting warmer. So.
Wow, that sounds like a good day out there.
It does. I don't see any clouds in the sky. Looking good so far.
Well, very good, very good. Well, we're gonna have David Lee here on a second. We're waiting for him to pop on. We'll get notified when he's on here. So we only have two more shows until we are at our Colorado Springs event. That's exciting.
Oh, my gosh. That's nerve-wracking. Oh, man, I cannot believe it's only two more shows. Holy cow. Man, time is flying by.
Yeah, that's what happens when you do events. Yeah, we'll have a live show on Saturday the 5th, a live show on Saturday the 12th, and then on Saturday the 19th, we will be live from our event in Colorado Springs. So, I mean, that's it. Like two events.
That's awesome.
Hey, and speaking of that, I heard you got verification on some pretty cool news on a new keynote speaker. You want to throw that out here real quick?
Oh, yeah, why not? That's awesome. Yeah. You know what? It's really, really cool. Karen Hood decided to come out to the Self-Reliance Expo, and she will be doing a presentation on Friday and on Saturday. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I don't remember the times, but yeah, that is correct.
Yep. So that's going to be awesome. I really appreciate Karen Hood coming out and supporting the event and coming out to do a presentation. That's really, really cool news. So we just found that out this week. that she was going to be able to clear her schedule to come out. So big news, and you know, we're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know who Karen is, just to make sure everybody does and why we're so excited, Karen Hood is the owner, current owner of Survival.com, and she's also the wife of the late, great survival expert Ron Hood. He's an editor, a publisher, and of Survival Quarterly magazine, wrote several books. You know, did a bunch of stuff with Discovery Channel. I mean, and Karen also, I believe, has done some writing for some outdoor magazines. So we are very, very excited to have Karen come to the event.
Absolutely. It's such an honor. I can't wait to meet her.
Speaking of honors, I hear that we have David Leon with us. David, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, thanks for joining us, David.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good morning.
I'm fine.
So, David, you are in Maine,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
That's where you live, is in Maine? What
That's
part
right,
of Maine?
Right out near the end of the earth here. We're in East Booth Bay, Maine.
Wow, you're way
so
up
what's
there.
The weather? Yeah, what's the weather like out there right now?
Well, the sun is out. The fog's receded. Looks pretty good today. How is it out there? Raining as usual?
Yeah, well, it's where I'm at, it's raining. Apparently, Colorado Ron decided to take a vacation to a place that's got nice 70-degree weather. But that's okay. I'll forgive him. So David, yeah, when we started, we got your information about having you on the show. I have to admit, I had a completely different vision in my head of what alternative home building was. And then I went to your website, www.unrulyelf.com, which I love the name, by the way. And your stuff is fantastic.
Thank you.
Fantastic. I have to ask. You know, I was reading some of your profile and everything else. You went from being a machinist at an aerospace company to building these gorgeous fantasy homes. And that seems like
yes,
a pretty
that's
big
right.
leap.
Oh, well, it was, yes. And I did it because I didn't like working in industry too much, but building houses, well, building things has been always my thing to do, so houses were a natural way to go, and once I built my first one, I couldn't stop.
Where did you build your first one, and how'd that turn out?
Well, the first one, I had just moved back to Vermont, and I was teaching school, and I bought this little four-room house, and during the school year, I started doing things to it, you know, to fix it up. It was an old house. And it was such fun that I decided to get that one done and sell it and then build another one. And from there on out, it's been 25 houses now.
Wow, 25. That's considering all the detail work on these things, that seems like it would be that's a heck of an undertaking.
Well, when I build a house, it's 7 days a week, 16 hours a day until they're done. And I work alone.
And you work alone.
Yes.
Whoa.
is that by choice? Are you some sort of are you an eccentric genius that no one can work with? Are you?
I've been called that. Well, my wife works with me. You know, she feeds me and I work, and that's so we're a team on this. And I take vacations between homes. You know, a little rest in between.
Very cool. I also have a question on your method, and we'll get to the important stuff that everybody else wants to, you know, that we want to talk about, like the, you know, preparing your home for hard times and everything else. But
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't find that nearly as interesting as seeing some of these homes. So the question I have is, I read someplace on one of these on your web pages that you actually do a scale model of every home before you actually build it.
Well, yes, I do. You probably noticed on the website that these homes are not the usual shapes. What I do, design a structure that's going to be extra strong, very efficient, and then I add in all the things that I've learned over the years about, I have a different kind of heating system, a different kind of plumbing system. You'll notice the siding on the outside of the house is kind of unusual. The roofing is unusual. And all these things are meant to build a house that is better than what you can buy. And I build alone because as I think these things up, I have to build the house, make sure everything works right before I sell it. So they're all built basically what's called on speculation.
Wow. Very cool. I don't even know. Guys, I would have to say, go to this website, check this stuff out. When I'm done with the show, I'm going to have my wife come and take a look at this because there's a couple of these. I'm like, I want to build this. The Northern Keep Lodge, I think, is just awesome.
Now, the ones you're looking at there are my artwork. I experiment all the time. I do build models. I design houses all the time. And when I get a design that I like, I'll build maybe sometimes 5, 6, 10 models of it to scale just to see how it works out, you know, how it looks, how the structure will be, that sort of thing. And eventually when I get it where I want it, then I build the real thing. And the models that you see in the artwork there, these are ones that, they aren't for this world, actually, but they're things they're buildings I would really like to do.
They're pretty fantastic. They're pretty cool. All right, enough about the fantasy, unless you have another question about them, Ron.
No, I just find I find it very fascinating. When you actually started, let's segue into that. When you actually started building and working on these homes, what did you find that was some of the most inefficient things, inefficient methods traditionally in the home industry?
Well, when I started, it was back in the 70s, actually. And, of course, back then, you know, houses weren't insulated as well because fuel was cheap. There were a lot, various parts of houses were, let's say, not very expensive, siding, that sort of thing. And I wanted to build houses that were, more efficient. And the only way to do that is to do it yourself. And, of course, you save a lot of money building a house. I wrote a blog post about how it would be better if, when you turn 21 to build a house rather than go to college so that you learn all these practical things. And I still think that's a good idea.
Oh, that is a great idea. Why didn't I think of that?
Well, when you think about it. Well, these days, I mean, think of it. If you buy a house, say you buy a $200,000 house and you mortgage it, by the time you pay the mortgage back, you're going to be paying over $400,000 for that house. And in the process, the money that you use to pay for it will have already been taxed out of your paycheck to the tune of like 30%. So you're actually paying, if you play the numbers right here, you're actually paying like 3 times the price of your house. That's if you keep it the full length of the mortgage. But if you took a year off, learned how to do these house building skills, framing and sheathing and roofing and all that sort of thing, you could build a $200,000 house for about $75,000. Now, think what that saves you over the lifetime of your house. And then if you take that first house and, say, sell it for $200,000, then you can pay your way through college without having loans.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's if you didn't want to go. If you didn't want to go on and build, say, another house and another house and another house, like I did.
Yeah, see, that might work for someone like Colorado Ron, but someone like me, you haven't seen my chicken coop. If it was someone like me, what would happen is that would be a $500,000 house because it'd have to replace everything twice. And it really depends on how handy you are.
Well, there you go. So you go out and be an apprentice on a building site for 6 months or so, and you'd know enough to get going.
That's true.
What do you think?
I think the loss of apprenticeships is a sad thing. I think that I wish more people went ahead and did things like that.
Oh, definitely. My apprenticeship as a machinist was wonderful. It was 6,000 hours, and you learned so much, and it's all practical, hands-on experience too. there should be more. There should be more in the building industry. Well, any industry, you know. I've always wanted to learn trades that people actually needed. You know, I didn't want to, you know, go out and have a business making T-shirts or something. I wanted to do something real.
Right.
Yeah, no, I agree. Can you tell us a little bit about your last project?
Well, I just finished a cottage for a lady here, and it's quite nice. It's got all my features on it that I use. I have the handmade shakes on the outside and the special kind of roofing that I do. And, you know, it's a nice little place for her. And I'm 66 years old now, so it doesn't mean that you can't build a house at any age.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. Obviously, these things are so unique and one-off. I mean, are these so unique that you are the only one to come and repair them?
Oh, no. Well, that's another thing I do, too. Everything I build is meant to be taken care of and repaired or replaced or enhanced or upgraded by the owner. I leave a building manual with each one, too. And they look different, but, for instance, I make all my own hinges for all the doors and cabinets in the house out of wood. And everything is put together with screws. So if something happens, say you want to change things or something breaks, like one of my doors can be completely disassembled and say the part remade and put back together, sort of like a machine, you know.
Well, that's pretty handy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's pretty cool.
Even the siding on the houses, those big heavy shakes that you see there.
Yeah.
Those are all put on with screws, so they could be removed easily and reused somewhere else. And since they'll last probably 15 or 20 generations, that's a pretty good thing.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So, you know, one of the things you said you want to talk about is preparing your home and yourself for hard times. What does that mean to you?
Well, basically, that's what I've done with my houses. For instance, I said I do a different kind of plumbing system, and what I do is if you have a well of your own, and there's a pump down there, well, that pump provides pressurized water through your house, but when the electricity goes off, your water stops too. So what I've done is I've put towers on most of my houses, and up in the top of the tower I build in water tanks. So the well pump pumps water up to the water tanks, and then a second pump pressurizes it for the house. But if the electricity goes off, you turn a valve and you have gravity feed water for the hours or days that your water is off. So you can still use your toilet, you still have hot water. It's not as pressurized, but it's just as good. Now, in hard times when it's likely that the power could go off fairly often, I think this is a good thing. And this is something that could be built into existing homes. I've done an article for Backwoods Home magazine about this process some time ago, and I'm going to include it in my book when the book comes out.
No, that's cool. I mean, how often do you actually write for Backwoods Home? I was kind of going through some of your articles, and
mm-hmm.
you kind of bounce a little bit of everywhere. It's like, and it's kind of cool. You have. I've looked at your article on, the shake update, and then you had, the forever floor, and
yes.
You know, my favorite is the deluxe barrel stove. And
uh-huh.
you're kind of unique, maybe because you've been a machinist, and then you kind of went into building homes, that you have the ability to kind of do multiple things. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I find that most people kind of specialize.
Yes.
Your stuff's kind of eclectic. You do a little bit of everything. Your barrel stoves and the welding and everything you seem to do to make your stoves was fantastic.
Oh, there's no welding in those stoves. It's all done with a saber saw and a screw gun and screws. I try to avoid.
Really?
Because I don't. I welded. I mean, I learned how to weld when I was a machinist, but I'm not very good at it. You have to keep in practice, you know. And then if you keep in practice, that means you sort of have to make a business out of it because the equipment you use is pretty expensive. So I try to design all my things, basically just use, you know, simple tools. I mean, the most elaborate things I have are a table saw and a saber saw and a drill press. That's about it.
Oh, wow.
So you actually were able to mount that door just with screws?
Mm-hmm. Well, when I build a door, I build the hinges, I build the door, and then There's a where the hinge is attached to the frame on the side of the door. That's all built on a work table, and then it's set in place, and then screw it in, and there it is.
Huh.
I can tell you're going to want to go out and build a house now, aren't you?
I'm looking at all this stuff.
Well, you know, my wife and I, we have gone back and forth, first of all, it's really hard to find a house. We have six kids, and so we really find a hard time finding a house that accommodates all of our needs and wants, without doing extensive customizing to the house. And so we have gone back and forth between building our own from scratch, and I've kind of stayed clear of it. I was hoping my wife wouldn't convince me to do it because I'm afraid that I'm going to build it and it's going to be crooked or something. And I've always been nervous about trying to build my own, but this is giving me some new ideas here. I'm pretty excited.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, these days with so many foreclosures and so on, there are houses out there that are practically giving away. Of course, they'll need work. But I'm going to have a chapter in my book about rehabbing old homes or homes that aren't very efficient now without, you know, too much tearing down and that sort of thing. I won't go into all the details of it now, but I think if you can, I mean, if you can arrange to have a year off where you do nothing but work on the house, you could build from the ground up and have the house that you want. It seems like a daunting project at first, but every morning when you get up, you'll be anxious to go. At the end of the day, you'll be very tired, but ready to start again the next day. And it doesn't get boring. You know, as soon as you're tired of framing, then it's time to do sheathing. And it's a very exciting thing to do.
Oh, boy.
Plus, you get in good shape. The last house I built, I lost 35 pounds. It's wonderful.
Bubba, I'm taking a year off.
So, the segue into it. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah. I was just going to say that was a great segue. I'd like to know a little bit more about the book.
I'm right in the middle of writing it now, and I think this is a good time for it because there's a lot of things about. It isn't everything about building a home, but it's how to change some things on your house. For instance, the shakes on the outside are a really good addition to any house. They help your insulation work better. They never need maintenance. They're bulletproof. They're very thick. They're easy to make, and they even might give you a part-time business if you got the equipment and built these things onto your house. And see the logic of it, because it could also be a firewood business, too.
What type of wood do you use for your shakes?
Well, I use hardwood. We buy our firewood, what's called tree length here, which is logs about 20, 25 feet long. They're brought in a big truck. And then I cut those to 2-foot lengths with a chainsaw. And all our firewood on this coast anyway is hardwood, so it's mostly oak and maple and birch. And then we have a wood splitter, and when we split our wood, we don't just split it into chunks for the fire. It's very easy to make shakes with a wood splitter. And as I said, putting them on the house is done with screws. So it's hard work, but it's not work that can't be done. And these shakes make any house look great, you know.
You need an apprentice for a month? Because I can't even make firewood with my wood splitter, let alone shakes.
Well, I guess, you'd need a lesson or two, but it could be done. I had considered for a while there starting an apprentice group or something. You know, in fact, what I wanted to do was start my own housing development, you know, get maybe 10 lots and take on 3 or 4 apprentices and just start building and selling houses in this building, in this development. But I'm getting kind of old now, you know, so I don't know. Maybe it is time to teach.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't eat much, and I mean a couple of Maine lobsters every couple of days, and I'd probably be good to go.
Oh, that'd be good. We got lobsters crawling out of the ocean here all the time.
Oh,
see, that's
God.
What I figured. I mean, with such pretty homes, they probably want to just go head that direction.
You've got to be kidding me. Oh, that's killing me. Oh, I love lobster. Okay, so one of the questions I have, and I'm going back to one of the articles that that I'm reading here, where you built this greenhouse. Obviously, that's one of the projects that I have lined up. And can you tell us a little bit more about the, you know, the finding the cheap glass?
Oh, glass is everywhere. Go to, if you go to a store that sells glass and you say, can I look around your dumpster, and you go out there, you'll almost always find glass. And so much of it, in fact, that the only kind I ever actually save now is the double pane, you know, thermopane glass rather than the single panes. But what you want for that greenhouse, when you read it there, you probably noticed I mentioned using tempered glass. And tempered glass is these double pane glass doors you see on everybody's porch. You know, the big full size glass that's about 3 feet by 6 feet. Every pane of that has two pieces of tempered glass in it. So a few of those, taken apart, provide just the glass you need for your greenhouse.
So I have a question on this greenhouse. And this, I mean, just the one that you, the one that you have on that site, which I'm assuming is built onto your house, right? That's,
yes,
that was
is.
Your greenhouse. Yeah. That was your project. How much did you have in, Eden, how much did you have in materials there? I mean, I know your labor and everything else would be added, but I'm looking at this and it seems so simple when you're looking at the list. You know, I think if I probably had someone build this for me here, that's probably a $50,000 project.
Really? Well, you have some expensive contractors out there.
Yeah,
well,
I think we do.
Doing your own work, it was hard work. I dug the ditches and for the footings and did my own concrete block work and all that too. Actual materials that you have to buy, it'd be hard for me to say, but I'd give it like maybe $2,000. That's assuming you find your glass. That's you buy your lumber from a building supply store. The concrete blocks are probably the most expensive parts, and then you build this against your house. But it's well worth it. And $2,000, and as I say, it's, you know, it's mostly labor there.
Do you use that the heat that you build up in the greenhouse? Do you use that to subsidize the heat in your home?
Oh, certainly, yes. Well, our home where we live now is 3,600 square feet. And our wood heating system heats it mostly, and we use about between 4 and 5 cords of wood a year to heat the house that size. But the reason, and that's not much given where we live, but the greenhouse makes up the rest of it. I mean, that baby puts out heat like you wouldn't believe.
That was one of my first thoughts.
So when can we come up and do a tour?
I think he's
in Missouri. I've got next week off.
Well, perhaps
this
you should, you know.
Awesome.
I mean,
yeah,
my whole thing is, I know building a house sounds like a lot of hard work, but I would encourage anybody to do it. I mean, you know, if you're fairly healthy and you can, you know, pull your finances together and take a year and build a house, you know, especially in these times. I mean, look what's happened. You know, the government has sort of ruined the housing industry, and people need a home to live in, and you should have one that really works well for you. And my book and my articles in Backwoods Home tell a lot about that, and, of course, the website, too. But, yeah, just give me a call.
I would love to
Jenny will make up some cookies,
and
we'll have coffee, and we'll have a good visit, and I'll show you around.
I don't think most people would believe that you could do something like this for $2,000.
I know.
Yeah, I was shocked myself. Yeah, when he said that, I thought, you know, even conservatively, I was thinking at least double that. Well, actually, 2.5 times that is what I was thinking. But, you know, the work I'm not afraid of. You know, you mentioned a lot of hard work. I'm not afraid of work. What I am afraid of is redoing work.
Well,
I hate having to redo.
Oh, me too. I hate it too. But that's why I build with screws, because most anything I do, if I make mistakes, and I make mistakes, you know, quite often, but it just means you take it apart, do it again, you know, and you don't ruin the material. The screws are usable over again. It's one of the themes in my work is that whatever it is repairable by the owner.
What about building codes?
Well, given what I do, I'm bound to have problems with those people. Building codes. This is a creeping evil here. They used to be good. I mean, there were like serving suggestions. You know, here's a good way to frame a house. Here's a good way to put in windows and so on. But over the years, building codes have been expanded, upgraded, added to, and what it was mostly meant to protect people in public places. You know, especially like motels and places where people were supposed to go, but it wasn't applied to private homes because, according to the Constitution, you're supposed to have private property rights. And what's happened now is that building codes are being adopted in towns wherein, before you can even build a private home, you have to get a permit. The permit makes it possible for them, or legal for them, to come in and inspect your home and find things that aren't up to code. And given the inscrutable number of specs in the code, it's not possible really to build a house that is up to code. They can just find things to make it hard. But the point is that what they're trying to do here is standardize all housing. All new houses are going to have to be built to code. And this includes a lot of things that you may or may not want in your house, but you've kind of lost your right to make those choices. So, yes, my houses are very different, and for that reason, you know, they're different from code a lot of times. And, yeah, it's a problem I'm working on. It gets me very upset talking about this.
Well, something else that – go ahead, Carla.
I was just
going to say that one of the things that's been sneaking up, and I've noticed – since I've moved up to Iowa, is what they've done is they've passed the regulation. So when you take over a home, you know, your grandfather did, and they can't come into your home to find out what's been done or what's going on while you're living there. But when I bought this house, it was built in the 1800s. Everything after that had to be upgraded.
Yes.
So what you were buying into was like, okay, you have to bring in a backhoe and fill in the cistern. You got to fill up, you got to fill up your backup well. You've got to upgrade all the electrical inside the house because it's not to code. When you
That's
buy
right.
the place, you don't realize what you're getting into, but they can come and zap you as the new owner when they come out there. And sometimes they come under the pretense of, oh, we're going to come do an assessment for new taxes because you're the new owner, and then walk around your property and put this little red sticker on your door with all the things they want you to upgrade.
Okay, well, now you're experiencing what I fear is happening all over the country. They're taking over the design and construction of every building in the country, and they're doing this with regulations, and they're backing it up with code enforcers who can punish you with fees and fines, and they can confiscate your property. And if you don't think this is – it's happening now out in California. I keep track of this sort of thing. They've taken people's houses and demolished them because they weren't up to code and the people weren't going to bring them up to code.
Wow.
It actually happened here in my little town.
It did?
Oh, well, I bought a piece of property, but the city council has four houses on the block that they believe are not to code and they deem them dangerous. Mm-hmm. And if the people don't get them up in 90 days, then the county can take them over and demolish the property.
Exactly. Now, this is private property. You know, what's that phrase in the Constitution? We have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which originally meant property. And now they can just come in and do this, just take over. And incidentally, what this does is raises the taxes on your place, because once you do all those upgrades, they're going to come and assess your house with all these new goodies that you have, and you're going to pay higher taxes.
Well, it also takes the character out of the house. The reason you buy a house that's built in the 1800s is because of the character that's there.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you start ripping into this stuff, the plaster, there's no plaster anymore, because once you crack the plaster, you can't put it back up. You got to put up, you know, some sort of, you know, either wall panel
or
sheetrock. Yeah.
Sure. I know it's ridiculous, but I mean, this you know, since our government has gone to the dark side here, you know, look what you've got. You've got Obamacare coming along. You've got, you know, they're just taking things over by regulation. That way they don't have to pass a law and nobody gets to see it until it's, you know, inflicted on you. And like I say, I this last house I built, I hadn't built a house before this for about 8 years. And for this reason, because when I build something that actually works better than what code calls for oftentimes, and they don't care about that. It's got to be standardized, it's got to be to code or nothing at all, and it's just sad. As you're finding
out. Yeah, it is.
Well, I didn't want to turn that into a downer, sorry.
That's okay.
You know, that's one of the things that that concern me when I go to look at property and wanting mm-hmm. to build a house. It's like, okay, so I got to go through all these code loops, and which I don't know, and I don't speak the language. So when I'm reading this, it's like reading a foreign dictionary.
Terrible.
Yeah,
and
I
don't want to go too much more of a downer, but there's something new coming along now that's going to be integrated in very soon, called the International Residential Building Code. It takes all the other codes that have been hanging around here and kind of coordinates them all into one. And you'd think that would be a better thing, but it has. I mean, this is a book that's like an inch and a half thick. If you bought it, it costs $120, and you're supposed to build your house according to this book. Now, that's just insane, and yet it's coming on. I don't know. How would you stop it? I think, you know, nobody wants Obamacare, but it seems like we're going to get it. Nobody would want this either if they knew it was coming, but it seems inevitable.
Centralization is not the salvation everybody thinks it is.
What's that? Did you call it?
I said centralization is not the salvation everybody thinks it is.
Of course not. Pretty soon we'll be living in those, you know, 20-story concrete cement apartments like they have in China and Russia, you know.
Yeah. Well, but it's on everything, Obamacare. Everybody thinks that if we have one rule for everybody and one group controlling it, that it's going to streamline it and make it better.
Sure.
But, you know, the reason this country is so great is we were a big melting pot. And, you know, it was everybody's thoughts and all the different things that we put in there that made it interesting and actually a good society. And now we want to, I don't know, we seem to want to give away our identity and just kind of streamline everything. Sad.
Well, I don't. I don't know. And I don't think you would either. It's not all the we. It's just the people that, you know, it's our, so many of our fellow citizens that have decided to become the government and run the rest of us.
All right.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
I'd like to get back to this because I'm still thinking of taking on this challenge. So the house that you have here in the article I'm reading, is, you said it was, what, how many square feet, 3,000?
Yes, that's the long one there with
yeah.
the greenhouse in front of it. Yes, that's 3,600 square feet plus a 1,400 square foot basement. Well, if you want to move out here, it'd be big enough for all your kids. We'll sell it to you.
that's exactly what I'm looking for, is something like that. now, what would that, in today's prices, what would that cost to build?
If I
took it on all myself.
Oh, if you took it on all yourself. Let's see, as I recall. Now, prices have changed a little. Like I built that house, 18 years ago. So I think we had about $40,000 in materials in it.
Wow, that's just amazing.
That'd be a little more now, but not much. About $40,000. Materials are, I don't want to say what percentage of a house they are because it always differs, but that's about what we had in it in money for building materials. The rest of it's my labor.
I bought a house from a builder once, and I was, you know, and I don't know if this was very accurate because, he built a lot of houses, and you know, the loans may have been shuffling around, but some paperwork came to the house, and I accidentally opened it. And it was the bill for the building materials of my house. Now, the house that I bought was $350,000, and basically what he had in it was like $60,000. I was, you know, and I'm not sure if that was all of the building materials, but it sure looked like a pretty extensive list, and I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, building a house, especially, you know, the ones that go up built by companies and so on, it's roughly one-third materials, two-thirds labor. And, of course, this is not counting the lot and all the lot improvements and so on. This is just the house. And my houses are less than that. Mine are maybe more 15 or 20% materials, and the rest of it's labor. I don't buy my doors and windows. I build them. And that alone is thousands and thousands of dollars saved. I've seen front door entries that cost $8,000, and I can build my own that look just as nice or better for about $100, you know.
Oh, wow.
So are you ready to come to ILS for and do a little building? We'll put your rice up in a nice
place. Well, listen, my houses have been on TV before, and every once in a while they re-show the program. And when it does, I start getting emails, please come to Virginia and build me a home, and please come out to Nebraska and put up a house for me, that sort of thing. Once I even had president of the National Nudist Association that wanted me to build her a house down in Virginia on one of their nudist colonies. My wife wouldn't let me go.
You're like, I got to do it. I got to go. I got to build this one.
You know, I feel like we didn't even get a chance to really scratch the surface of this. David.
Well, maybe we should talk again, because there's a lot more. As I say, when the book comes...
You to come on... I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
Oh, no. Well, I was going to say, yeah, there's a lot more we could talk about, and that's kind of fun, you know? And I really would like people to start realizing that they should get out and build their own home. And we haven't even gotten into the exotic things like, you know, say, living in a caboose on a railroad track somewhere, or living on a boat. By the way, let's not go there yet. There's plenty of ways to have a really nice home, even in times like this one. But the home should take care of you. It shouldn't cost you, you know, three quarters of your life's work to do. So when you guys come up for a visit, you know, we'll have cookies and coffee, and we'll talk this over, and we'll sell you a house and go from there.
There you go.
Well, hey, my wife wants to move out to Maine anyway.
Yeah, it's a nice place. And we got lobsters. I mean, there's a lobster pound within walking distance here. You can get all you want.
Oh, my goodness. Hold me back, Bubba. Hold me back.
There you go. Hey, Dave, can we convince you to come back on next week if I send you an email and let's pick up where we left off here?
Sure. Yeah, if you can line it up, because they say we don't have Skype, we don't have a cell phone, and we don't even have long distance. You know, as I say, we lived at the end of the earth here. I mean, not quite at the end, but you can see it from the back porch. So you'll have to call me, and if we can do it just like we did today, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think
I would love to.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, with Ron out of town and everything else, it would be good if we could jump back on next week before so we can finish this up. I think this would be good.
Sure. We'll have a good
chat.
Right,
we'll send you. Yeah, I'll send you an email tomorrow, and we'll get it set up.
Very good. All right, it was great talking
to
you guys.
Hey,
all right, thank you,
lot.
David. We'll
thanks
talk to you
time.
Next week.
Okay,
everybody,
bye-bye.
David Lee, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Ron. Well, I'm sorry we had to jump off that. I was just getting into this. It was lots and lots of fun. But we have like six people that we have to get on today. And the next person, and we're going to go ahead and skip the break and go ahead and jump straight onto it. We have Vicki Lynn Haycraft, hopefully online right now. Vicki, are you there? Vicki Lynn?
I am here. Can you hear me?
There she is. Hey, Vicki Lynn, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very, very well. You still on, Colorado?
Yes, I'm here. Doing awesome. Awesome.
Hey, Ron, how are
you?
Doing pretty good. I'm just hanging out in the middle of nowhere right now, but we're doing all right.
Oh, great.
Hey, Vicki Lynn. So we wanted to have you online or on air to, first of all, congratulate you for, you know, you helped us get to 1 million downloads this last week. That's pretty amazing.
1 million! Woohoo!
Yeah. Exciting stuff.
Can you believe that?
Very exciting.
1 million. Jeez.
That is awesome. That is so awesome.
And one of the things I think most people may or may not know about you, and it's unique, is you're one of the few show hosts that we have that are basically doing this purely as a mission. You don't sell any products. You don't have something that you're out there trying to represent. You're doing this purely on the mission to get the information out there and help people out.
Exactly. Exactly. And PRN is just a wonderful vehicle for people that are looking to say, what do I do? Where do I start? And I love to be able to tell them, hey, turn to PRN and you will learn a lot. And I'm just really thankful for it.
And your show is Get Real, Get Prepared.
Yes.
And what day and time is that on for everybody?
That's on Saturday nights at 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time.
That's tonight, guys. See, I was doing that on purpose. We're trying to promote. That's tonight.
Yeah.
And
tonight I have Bernie Carr, the apartment prepper, on as my special guest tonight.
Apartment
very
prepper.
Cool.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So preparing in small spots, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Well, she's got a great message, because a lot of people think, hey, if I don't have a bug out place, if I don't have a generator, if I don't have $10,000 worth of equipment, I might as well just lay down and die. And it's really disheartening for people that say, hey, look, I'm in a small place, or I'm with limited funds. Can I still prep? And she says, yes, you can, and here's how. And I just love what she has to say.
Awesome.
And how long have you been doing radio, Vicki Lynn?
Not about 14 or 15 months.
And when you joined PRN, you had basically no experience, right?
Not on radio, no. I've been writing for many years. I've been a columnist about prepping and healthy eating. I've been doing that for a lot of years. I did some speaking in different conventions, but I had no radio, and I was scared to death, to be honest with you.
And see how far you've come?
Well, I had a lot of people help me along the way.
Did Dr. Prepper talk you into it?
I beg your pardon?
Did Dr. Prepper talk you into it, doing the radio show?
He did. Actually, he had run across something that I had written, and he called me up, and he said, listen, I'd love to have you on the radio. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I don't do radio. I don't know how to do radio. This is what I do. I write and I speak, but I'm just kind of scared. And he said, oh, no, don't worry about it. And I said, no, thank you, no. And for about, maybe 6 or 8 months, he'd call me on a monthly basis. Listen, we really, really need what you have. And I said, no, I don't think so. And he would call me back, and finally, one time he said, listen, I read what you have written. I know that you have a passion. I know that you have a mission. And he said, don't you want to reach people that really need to learn and really need to hear what you have to say? Well, that was it. I said, yes, I do. I really do. And he said, if you come on PRN, I can guarantee you people that need to hear about prepping, need to hear what you have to say, will hear you. And I said, okay. And I did.
That's just amazing. The thing that surprises me is how fast you pick up on the skills that are needed to do interviews and things like that. And we've actually gotten several compliments people that have been on your show. And one of the questions I had is, how did you get into preparing or prepping or whatever the word, whatever the term is for you, how did you get into that to begin with?
Well, my husband was a police officer, and he worked rotating shifts. And I had small children at home, and so I learned to be home pretty much by myself. And then one day he said, we're moving to Alaska. We're selling everything because
oh,
we want.
Oh, that's my man.
Yeah, yeah, and so we were in North Carolina, and he was working as a police officer, and he said, "I want to work in Alaska." So we sold everything, took the two kids under four, and we went to Alaska, and he worked up on the North Slope, where they flew him in out of a place called Dead Horse. Okay, that'll tell you about the place, Dead Horse.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Oh, have you? Yeah. And so left me and the kids in Alaska, in Wasilla, Alaska, on my own, and I learned about how to be prepared or you don't eat. Because when you can't get out, because the berms are 7 feet high, and you can't get out and you've got two little kids, you've got to be prepared. So I started learning that putting by and planning was really essential. And I didn't know how long we were going to be in Alaska. I didn't know how long he was going to be on the North Slope. So I started getting a mindset of being prepared for things that you just don't know what's coming. And then later we moved back to North Carolina, and we had some situations. My husband was injured in the line of duty, and immediately our world changed. It was the end of the world as we knew it. He was completely disabled, no longer able to work as a police officer. And we were able to use our preparations, and we just started going, really understanding that you never know from one day to the next what's going to happen. So we've been going full tilt since then.
Oh, wow.
Very cool. And it's a good. That's a very good message to kind of be pushing along. And is that when you kind of decided that you wanted to make that a mission to help other people, you know, become prepared? And
yeah, really. I had a lot of people in our small groups and the people that we had met, and we were storing wheat, grinding wheat, making things at home because of our finances, and planning ahead and bulk buying and putting aside for emergencies, because we didn't know with him being disabled if we would be able to pay the electric bill. So, you know, we had things for if the lights had to go out, and they did several times, actually. And our friends started coming to us and saying, "How do you do this? Could you show me how to bake bread? Could you show me how to grind wheat? Could you show me how to bulk buy? Could you show me how to use things that are dehydrated?" And I started realizing, you know what, as God is showing me how to do it, it's important for me to help other people. And so that's what I started doing. It just became such a passion for both my husband and myself. And as our kids grew and I started teaching local classes, I realized that people are in all situations and they need this information and they're hungry for it. And so as I learned, I wanted to share what I was learning.
So I want to know, you know, you have how many kids do you have?
We have five total, but one lives in heaven.
Okay. And your oldest two are your oldest is your son, correct?
Yes, 27 years old.
And 27. Now, is he still still in school? I know your oldest daughter is.
No, our oldest son graduated from high school, and went on with a scholarship to college, where he got his degree and graduated with honors. And he's been working for the last 6 years in programming, and he lives in a large city.
And do they live the same lifestyle? I mean, I know your daughter is very prolific. She was doing music now.
Yeah.
They do cosplay. They do all kinds of very interesting things, which you wouldn't line up with prepping necessarily. So I'm kind of curious, you know, have they, you know, did the lifestyle? And she has a beautiful voice, by the way. I was listening to one of her new things just a couple days ago.
Thank you. Well, both of them were raised in the prepping lifestyle. Both of them were homeschooled all of their lives, and both of them realized the importance of it. Now, as a mom, as a parent, there comes a point where you say, listen, I've given you all that I can give you. Now go and live your life. And so, you know, my son lives in a big city, which I would rather he didn't, but he's actually doing prepping and in an apartment, and which is one reason why I love Bernie Carr so much, because he's learning a lot from her. But I would not say that he's a full-out prepper. He has made some preparations, but he doesn't actually live like his mom and dad do, but he understands the importance of it and talks to us about it quite a bit. He is a little concerned about it. Now, our daughter, she's in grad school. She graduated with honors, and she's now in her second year of grad school, and she's a musician and an artist. And she also has been raised in the prepping lifestyle, and she also sees the importance of it. She lives in an apartment. She's the resident director. So she has limited prepping, but she also has been creating a pantry and has backup water. So I would say that they both realize the importance of it from being brought up that way, and they do live that way to a certain extent.
Well, very cool. I'm glad that it's kind of continuing. I'm glad that you're using your medium to kind of help them along where you can. That's a very, very smart thing to do. Ronnie, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. I was just trying to do some quick research here. Now, you have a son that's heading to New York?
Yes, actually what I'm doing today is I'm here with a group of about 100 people, and we're raising money for our second son, actually as our third son, 17-year-old, and he's going on a mission trip to New York City. They go to Harlem, they go to Brooklyn, and they go to all the inner city neighborhoods where a lot of mission people don't go, and they put on drama and puppets and music. And my son's kind of a computer geek, and he does all the sound engineering, and so he's part of the setup team. So we're here in the parking lot of a electric company, and there's about 100 of us, and we're raising money by having a yard sale. So that's what we're doing today.
How much are you trying to raise?
Well, I think we've raised about $150.
What are you trying to raise? How much?
Oh, his goal is $1,000 to go to New York for 10 days. So we're raising
very
money
cool
for that. Yesterday I baked 65 homemade sticky buns made with 100% whole wheat and raw honey and non-dairy, and they are selling so fast.
I can imagine that. That's so good.
Yeah, people come up with their coffee, and I say, hey, I've got a sticky bun for you.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
Now, how long is the trip for him? 10 days, you said?
Yeah, it's about 10 days. They go on a bus. They leave at night. And they drive all night. The bus driver stays awake, and they're supposed to sleep, but you know they don't. And they get into New York the next day. I think it's about a 14-hour trip. And they hit the ground running. And they put on 3 to 4 shows a day with the puppets and the drama and the music. And it's really, really cool. And they meet up with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir every year. And they meet up with the PAL, the Police Athletic League, and they take them into back areas in the inner city where there's not a lot of mission people that go there at all. But this group has been going for the last 5 years or so, and they've really proven themselves. So they do a lot of good. They reach a lot of people that have just never heard.
When do they leave, Vicki Lynn?
I think they leave, let's see, I think it's the middle of July or the first week of July.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I've got people popping up on our thing right now. We have Steve, our board op, that says he'll put in $50. I'll throw
Woo!
In 100 to go ahead and get this rolling. And what we'll do is we'll post this up on our page. When we did it the other day, for the it's called Rape Prevention for Couch Potatoes. It's a woman's class that we'll be doing at the next show to help women,
yeah,
you know, keep themselves from getting into trouble. We had a lot of people that kind of pitched in and threw in some money. So we'll get this up there too, and we'll get you out that $150
well,
to kind of help
awesome
with the cause, because helping other people and spreading the word is always a good cause.
Well, thank you so much. We sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'll match that there.
Wow.
Let's see what we can do to get this young man up to New York to do his thing. So I think that's awesome.
Well, thank you very much. And, hey, let me just say thank you guys for what you're doing for the prepping community, how you are reaching out and just spreading the message that it's really important to be prepared. And I just really appreciate both of you and what you're doing and the effort that you're putting out into getting this message with the expos and bringing in people that know what they're talking about and really care about getting the message out. And I just thank you both so much.
Well, thank,
no, thank
you. We couldn't do it with you, without you. So I really appreciate what
yeah,
you've done.
Yeah, thank you for everything that you're doing at the show. Thank you for reaching us a million, and we look forward to going out there and hitting the next million. So we'll let you go out there and finish doing your bake sale. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you for everything you guys always do.
Okay, thank you so much. Take care. God bless you guys.
Take care. We'll
All
see
right.
ya.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and go to a break, and when we come back, we'll have our next host on and see who, where, and when they got started in prepping. So we'll be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
I'm Dr. Prepper, and I'm here today to tell you about the Wonder Mill. Their patented grain mills create the most luxurious and quality flours from any hard grains or beans. They contract with the world's best-suited factories to manufacture the Wonder Mill to the highest specifications in the industry that they plan and design right up there in Pocatello, Idaho. They're the only American company with both electric and hand-operated models. I like them so much, I bought both, and you should too. I use the electric model for the finest flour, and I use the hand-operated model for making my grits and creamy wheat for breakfast. And I can have it fresh every day. With the Wonder Mill's lifetime warranty and the fact that these are simply the world's fastest, quietest, cleanest operating grain mills, it's no wonder that most preparedness and kitchen professionals prefer the Wonder Mill over all the other grain mills on the market. I love both mine. I know you'll love yours too. Go to thewondermill.com. That's thewondermill.com and Wonder Mill Grain Grinders. Get yours today. Tell them that Dr. Prepper sent you, will you?
Discover the taste of the sun. Thousands of preppers have acquired a sun oven to have on hand in the event of an emergency and have been pleasantly surprised by the improved taste of sun-cooked foods. Sun ovens are a preparedness item you can start using today. A sun oven will pay for itself by reducing your utility bills and by keeping your house cooler in the summer. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees Fahrenheit with the power of the sun. Sun ovens are often confused with homemade solar cookers, but they get considerably hotter, cook food faster, and hold temperatures longer. Sun ovens fold up in seconds, carry like a suitcase, and have many innovative features which make them the ultimate solar appliance. For the past 25 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They are durable and have a long life and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. For a discount coupon, email preppers at sunoven.com. That's preppers at sunoven.com. Thanks for listening to a word from our sponsor. Now, back to the show on the Preparedness Radio Network.
Welcome back to Backwoods Home Magazine Self-Reliance Exposed with Bubba Da Vinci and Colorado Ron. How you
hey,
doing there, Colorado?
Doing good, man.
So,
doing good.
Go ahead. I think we have a lag.
I think we do. I think we do. I was just going to say, I'm doing good. Let's just get this thing rocking.
Yeah, every time I hear you end, and then I'm getting ready to say something, and then all of a sudden I hear you talking again. So I think there's, slight delay in the thing, which is why we're overlapping. But anyway, we just finished with Vicki Lynn Haycraft, and that was awesome to talk to her. And I think next up on the line we have John – I think that's who we're going to have next, right? I hate to sit there and say this incorrectly.
John Wesley Smith. Mm-hmm.
It is John Wesley Smith is up next. Okay. John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm totally thrilled and pleased to be part of this thing this morning. This is really exciting. I doubt if even Dr. Prepper envisioned early on that there would be a million downloads on this whole thing.
Yeah, what do you think of that? A million downloads.
That's truly impressive. You know, and the thing that I love about internet is the fact that when it comes to something like prepping or so many of the prepping related topics, people come to it because they want to. They're looking for it. So you know that the people who have downloaded all these shows are not. It's different than regular radio where you're scattering the signal and who knows who's going to hear it and who knows who's even really paying attention. And I love radio. I've been in radio, in the past. But the thing about the internet is that it's so much more targeted. So you know that the people who are listening are the people that want what all of us have to say. And that, to me, is exciting. It makes it worthwhile.
Now, you're the host of Destiny Survival Radio, correct?
Yep.
And your website destinysurvival.com?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I thought so. And just wanted to make sure I got all the information right. And you've been doing this you kind of cover a lot of different topics, survival gear, supplies for preparedness, and things that people can do to prepare for the hard times.
Right.
And how did you get into it? How did you make the change to getting into being prepared yourself?
Well, my preparedness consciousness came about starting actually in the late 90s. I was one of these people who, thanks to a friend who's been kind of like a father to me over the years, I was one of these people who got into doing some prepping before the Y2K non-event. And I have no regrets about that because, without going into a whole spiel about Y2K, I think there's a lot of things that happened that made sure that didn't happen. That was what really got me into, some serious type prepping. Money has always been the biggest drawback. I've never had enough money to do what I want as far as prepping is concerned. And, after Y2K passed, I wasn't quite as fervent about it. Doesn't mean I wasn't conscious of it or thinking about it. We still had some of the supplies that we bought and so on, and I'm glad for that. But, I was involved with homeschooling our kids. And then when that was starting to wind down, I was looking for possible business opportunities, something that I could do. And I got to take a little side trip and tell you guys, you may know this already, but I'm blind. I have some partial vision. And I became involved with an organization called BOSS, Blind Online Success System, which helps teach blind folks how to get involved in internet marketing. And I got involved in this because I thought, well, I'm going to see what this is all about and see where it takes me. And for a long time, I wasn't sure what I was going to do as far as any kind of an online business. And then it struck me in the fall of 2007, hey, why not try to do something to sell some camping supplies, some survival-type supplies? That was before the term prepping became in vogue. And so that's what I did. It was in the middle of November of 2007 that I first started blogging at destinysurvival.com. And Interestingly enough, it was several months later that the government looked back and said, hey, you know what, the Great Recession started in December of 2007. So I guess I was kind of on the edge of it all at that time. But, you know, as with anything, when you start an Internet business or start any kind of a business, it takes a long time for it to really take off. So, you know, it was no get-rich-quick type scheme, still isn't. You know, I make a little bit of money. But I had these grandiose notions that people were really going to pick up on this because the economy was headed south and that they would buy stuff right and left. Well, it hasn't happened that way. I mean, you know, the prepping thing has really taken off in the last couple of years or so. But it's been different than I expected it to be, but it's been an interesting experience. I've loved every minute of it. You know, I've met some neat people along the way. Like, you know, I came in contact with Donna Miller because I saw a YouTube video that she had out on these spin lid buckets, which I think are just absolutely wonderful and they're fantastic. And I think that was before PRN even came about. Well, as time went on then, somehow Dr. Prepper got in touch with me and had me on his show once. And then a few months later, I guess it was near the end of 2010, he called me up and asked me about possibly doing, you know, a show. And honestly, guys, I was thinking, I don't know, this is going to be a lot of work. And it is. And I wasn't sure I wanted to do it. But I decided to take the plunge. And it's been fascinating because I started, my first show was January 6th of last year, 2011. And I've been doing it since on Thursday afternoons, 1 o'clock Central Time for an hour. And being involved with PRN has been a real education because it's fascinating to see how many other people are out there talking about preparedness and how many people just know so many other people who are doing really neat things and really interesting things. And I just wanted to say, too, that my whole site is all about trying to provide information and to provide products. And there are a lot of people who are way farther down the prepping road than I am as far as the skill level and that kind of thing. But, you know, I try to bring people information and ideas and some products that I hope will help out. You know, I kind of feel like I'm the guy who's, you know, standing at the gate as people come into the fairgrounds, you know, and I'm taking tickets and saying, okay, go to the left over here and you'll find a parking place. You know, that's kind of what I'm doing. I don't claim to be the total expert on everything, but I love making connections and getting the information out there to people. And like I said, being part of PRN has been a fantastic thing. I've made some really neat connections and hope that will continue. And I know I've been rambling on here, but I just got to say, guys, I really appreciate you promoting Backwoods Home Magazine, too, because I was getting American. Yeah, I was getting the American Survival Guide back in the late 90s. And you guys know kind of what that went through. They sort of went the way of the dodo bird. And all of a sudden, one day, I got this magazine from Backwoods Home. You know, they said, yeah, we'll fill out your subscription here. And that was it. I've been getting it ever since, and I love it. I'm just thrilled that you guys are promoting it because I think they're fantastic.
Yeah, we love Backwoods Home Magazine, and we love the people that that put that together. One of the questions I had was, why the name Destiny Survival?
Well, that's a good question. I guess I don't feel that many things happen by coincidence, and I feel that if somebody is looking into survival and preparedness, they may be destined to survive. They may be destined at least to be farther ahead of the game than, 80% of the population or whatever part of the population isn't preparing. Because, you know, like I said, I'm not at the same skill level that many people are that participate in PRN, for instance. But I figure anything you do is better than nothing. Start somewhere, you know. You got to start somewhere.
I totally agree. When you first got into this pre-Y2K, did you find yourself a little overwhelmed with all the information that was out there?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd say overwhelmed. It wasn't overwhelmed by the information that was out there so much because I'm a sponge. You know, I soak it up. And, you know, I've been a shortwave listener for many years, and so I was listening to a lot of the stuff that was on shortwave at the time. And, you know, you kind of have to sort through what's credible and what's not and so on. But to me, I wasn't overwhelmed by the information as much as overwhelmed by my own inability to really be as prepared as I thought the situation called for. And I still feel that a lot of times. I feel like I'm pretty inadequate. But like I said, anything you do is better than nothing, and you got to keep taking baby steps.
So you guys are based in Missouri, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of Missouri, not too far from Columbia, about halfway between Kansas City and St. Louis.
Actually, you're just south of me. I just actually moved up to Iowa. We'll have to try to get together sometime.
Yeah, that'd be cool. My wife's family is from Iowa, although they're mostly from southeast Iowa. And I got family over in southeast Nebraska.
Very cool. I'm actually really enjoying it up here.
Good.
So here's the question. We're going to get going here in a second, but I have a question. So you've been doing this for over a year. You've kind of been building it up. What do you see as your now that we've hit a million downloads? What do you see as your next big thing with us with PRN and where you want to go?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I'm. When I used to play checkers with my cousin, he'd beat the pants off me because I could never think very far ahead. And that's still kind of how it is. I mean, even though I'm into prepping, I take things pretty much day by day, and I don't do a lot of, where am I going to be in 5 years? I mean, maybe that sounds short-sighted. I usually set short-term goals, so I just want to keep doing what I'm doing, and let's see where PRN goes, and I'll just see... you know, if it looks like this is going to continue to be good for both of us, you know, then we'll just keep going and doing what we're doing. And I, like I said earlier, my main thing is to just try to get out information, get out good information to people, and try to help people along the way. And yes, obviously, I want to sell some product. That's why I've got the website, and I got a couple other little smaller ones that are more specifically niche oriented. But you know, one of them is long-term food storage HQ, and the other is gardeningandfoodstorage.com. So those are a little bit more specific. They're not blog sites, but I try to get the information out there, and I just hope and pray that people will pick up and take the initiative to do what needs to be done.
Well, I definitely think we're on our way with a million downloads. So
oh, yeah.
This was
it's fascinating.
So John Wesley Smith from Destiny Survival Radio, thank you very much. We appreciate you helping us get to the 1 million.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It's been fun to be a part of it, and may it continue.
All right, guys. 1 p.m. Central Time each Thursday afternoon. Please listen to Destiny Survival Radio and go to destinysurvival.com. Thanks. Thank you very much, John.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care, bud.
All right, so let's keep this thing going. I think up next we're going to talk to the charming Donna Miller. Is that right? We have Donna online?
I'm laughing at that charming part. That's awesome.
How are you doing, Donna?
I'm doing great, and I need to do a quick apology. If you hear the occasional truck go by, bird or river, we've been up at our bug out location this morning, and I had to drive down the mountain and find the first place to get a cell signal. So I'm going to. But I was I'm not missing this party for anything. So that's the whole point. I had to take a drive. I had to be here.
Very
You're at
cool.
your bug out
Thanks
location.
Very much.
Pardon me?
You're at your bug out location?
Yeah, well, not now. We have no service up there. It takes about 20 minutes to get down from the mountain to hit service with any cell phone service. So I set my watch. I said, okay, I got to take the drive, and came down to call you guys because this is a momentous occasion, a million downloads. Awesome.
Go ahead, Ron.
Sorry, we're having some lag here. A million downloads is pretty crazy. I was a little surprised to hear about your bug out location. Do you have a lot of property up on the top of the mountain here, or can you tell us a little bit about your bug out location without giving us too much information on it?
No GPS, no latitude, longitude, nothing like that. But it's actually historical family land. I need to clarify, because last time I said it's family land, someone said, oh, yeah, preparing's great when somebody gives you everything. We have a mortgage on this place, so nobody's given us squat. Historically, it's been in my husband's family for over 200 years, seven generations. There's a picture of his great-great-great-grandmother as a child playing with the Native Americans next to the creek that's named after her. So this is like an awesome experience. It's been abandoned for about 20 years, and we are bringing it back to life. It was always in the back of our minds that one day we would utilize it as a bug out, but we're turning it into bug out before. Does that make sense? Get it more self-sufficient now so that before anything really happens, we can go ahead and move everything in and be ready to roll. So...
sounds like somebody's doing Morse code in the background.
Do you hear something? I don't hear anything.
I hear beep, beep, beep. So let me ask you, you've been doing this. How did you get into prepping? We've been asking everybody how they got into prepping. How did you get into the field before you got into PRN? Because you've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, we've been actively preparing on some form of the journey. It's kind of a cyclical thing, we're finding, for about 25 years. My wonderful husband felt called, and that's about the best way we can put it, a calling to prepare and to be an encouragement to others who would prepare about 25 years ago. Now we had no clue what that looked like. So we basically just started more self-sufficiency and figured it would look mostly like that, and then eventually learned a little bit more about food storage rather than just your own, grow it and preserve it. And then Y2K came, and we kind of saw that not make much of a blip on the screen, but we were ready to roll for whatever that would do. And then I think I heard John Wesley, my good friend, I've known him since 2008, kind of say the same basic thing, kind of, well, okay. You kind of kick back and go, well, there was no big deal. And so that's why I say it's cyclical. Sometimes I would call us more prepared than others. We kind of relaxed a little bit and thought it was important to make a lot of money, which was really funny because then we suddenly lost everything. I don't know how those hand in hand, one right on the heel of the other, but it did work out that way. And it was amazing because that started to show us what preparing was really all about. It's a lot more emotional, mental, physical. There's a lot more to it than just stockpiling and gaining skills. The skills, I think, are one of the most important. But we had the skills. We didn't have the stockpile stuff. We thought the money was going to give us that ability to stockpile. And then we realized, wow, there's a big chunk of preparedness that's just not really talked about. And what does that do to a family when things are difficult? What does that do to a man when he loses his home or his income or, and how really well are you able to sustain yourself if you have a year's worth of food storage but no other means of going out and getting groceries? We've been able to live that now. So we're on the other side of that, which is awesome. We're back to, somewhere in the middle normal, whatever that is. For us, normal, I guess. Our kids are now grown and off and married and getting to college, all that kind of good stuff. So, the focus has turned the last 8 years as them as teenagers into getting more of the community that they will be involved in, that we will be involved in, ready, rather than just our family. So it's a real journey, and it really changes. Over 25 years, we've seen a lot of, I guess it's more growth than change, but it really changes and kind of evolves. I don't like that word too much, but develops into a complete lifestyle.
Well, so And I totally agree with that. You know, everybody thinks that, you know, they're waiting for the next big disaster, but that could be a very personal event. Doesn't necessarily need to be a global or a national event.
Yeah, that's one of the most encouraging things to tell somebody. You don't have to be a nut job thinking that the world's coming to an end. You could just be, and I don't mean that anybody is that way. I'm just saying people will label you that, thinking that's why you prepare. But the truth is, our preparedness, years' worth of food, came in handy due to just a major financial fallout. What if you have a family member get disabled that was your main breadwinner? I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen that are very personal.
Well, yeah, exactly. So that's a really good point, and that's a point that I always try to push as well, because you never know when your world is flipped upside down. Doesn't necessarily mean need to be a national event. And so how long have you been with PRN?
I was invited by James to be on a show just when he was just doing his show once in a while. I guess he was doing it every single day, and I got onto one of his shows because he heard my regular weekly broadcast, Encouragement in the Kitchen, on Blog Talk, which is focused basically on stretching what you've got. It's not preparedness focused, but it does fit into it. I was trying to not be offensive, I guess, because it's kind of like religion and politics. You start talking prep and people look at you like, excuse me? So we kind of connected, and I did one of his shows, and then about 2 months later he started PRN, and I was one of the first couple of hosts with him, trying to do a 3-hour block by myself, which was an amazing, scary feat. And that was about the end of July or first part of August 2010, so we're coming up on 2 years.
Wow. Can you tell us a little bit about your show?
It's called Your Preparation Station, and it basically focuses on encouragement and education, because I always like to find a new guest that can teach me something at the same time, because I feel like everybody can always learn. We can always learn either a new product that would serve us well in the prepping lifestyle, or a new skill, or just sheer encouragement to just keep at it. Because in 25 years, or as a brand new person that sees the need, that encouragement is important. And it's also important to react out of education and good thought process, as well as what your heart leads and what the Lord leads, rather than fear. And so that's kind of our big focus on Your Preparation Station is, you know, how do you move forward and not let someone push your panic buttons. The media can do a great job of that, or they can totally tell you nothing, which also does a great job of that. So I try to get guests on that will empower people to feel like they can take this into their hands and do it the way they're led, not the way someone tells them it has to be done, because how I prepared probably didn't look like anything how you do, or, you know, anybody else, even in my own area. It may be very different. So that's pretty much what the whole show focuses on.
That's very cool. And, yeah, my wife says that I'm the one that presses her buttons. So, yeah, it doesn't have to be someone. So, yeah, we're going out there. We've hit 1 million downloads now, which is a major achievement. You know, the expos are going well. You know, we're starting to work with our hosts to promote their books and things. We've got a new website coming out. So as one of the people who helped us get here, Donna, what would you like to see in the us do to get to the next 1 million downloads?
You know, gosh, there's a whole lot of probably cross-promoting that we could do. People who, and we're finding this out with some of the other stuff we do, the people that will read a magazine may not listen to a radio because they don't even realize it's necessarily available. Or the people that listen to the radio may not realize that there are magazines out there that will suit them, or online webinars that we have available. There are a lot of cross-promoting, I think, that we could do to better serve people who are really looking, because I think every host that PRN has, and you guys as just heading up the you know, the forward call, and James being the one who laid so much groundwork, everybody's got a heart to serve others in this journey rather than hide and be defensive that you live this way. It's more of a desire to serve. So I think the more we can cross-promote each other, cross-promote as far as, look, we're all pieces of the same basic body that's doing a service to really the more people that are prepared and calm, the less chaotic this is all going to be when it does start changing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know that you're over there at your bug out location, and I'm totally jealous, by the way.
You want to come get some black mold out of my kitchen, you may not be so jealous.
The next time I'm over there, I want to go check it out. I think that would be
okay.
Cool to see.
Yeah.
But
we got some videos on YouTube of it, though.
What's that?
We got some videos on YouTube of it.
Oh, do you?
And
come on.
Yeah, we're videoing the journey. We're videoing the journey on yourpreparationstation.com, kind of going through each step. Some of them are really kind of like emotionally, what is this doing, and how much work is this taking, and what are we trying to bring back to life in this really abandoned, almost like a ghost home. So, yeah, it's,
wow.
We want to put the word out there to show people, okay, we're doing it, and it's not impossible. If someone like me can do it, anybody can.
Well, there you go. I mean, check it out then. Go to their website. What was the website again?
Yourpreparationstation.com.
There you go. And check it out there. I'm gonna go check out some videos myself. Well, hey, Donna, I really appreciate you coming on today, and really appreciate all that you've done for PRN and helping us getting to the million downloads.
It's been a joy every step of the way. I'm looking forward to the rest of the journey. It's going to be exciting. Can't wait for you guys to come to North Carolina with the expo. It's going to be so awesome.
We're excited for it. That's Hickory, North Carolina. We'll be out there towards the end of the year. So that's pretty exciting. I'm excited for that.
September 14th and 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. September 14th, 15th. There you go. Well, hey,
I appreciate you. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Ron. Y'all have a great afternoon, and congratulations on the million downloads.
Thank you. Good. All right. So Donna Miller. Man, I feel bad that she drove down the hill from her hidey hole to come down and do this with us. But much appreciated, Donna. Lots of love. Thank you for doing the drive. All right, so next up, we're going to go ahead and skip all our commercial breaks today, guys. We're going to go through this because we still have like four more people that we have to talk to find out what they think about getting to a million downloads. And next up is Ray Gano. And are you there, Ray?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
And you are the host of PV Radio.
You want to listen to PZ Radio? Yeah, that's me.
That's you.
Nice. I'm terrible.
Yeah, I'm terrible doing imitations. So, So how's everything going down there?
Doing good. We're having actually, it's rather interesting. I kind of missed the. I forgot that it was Eastern time instead of Central time. We are going crazy here at the Gano home because the History Channel is going to be coming out next week and doing a prepper show on us. And so
I heard about that.
Get the house clean and the yard done and getting all things spiffy for national TV. So that's what we're doing. And so it's going to be pretty interesting to see what's going to happen out of that and everything. But, yeah, History Channel, from what I understand, is doing their own sort of prepper show and everything like that. So that's what we're up to.
What show is it for?
I don't really know the name of the show. I just know that it's the History Channel and that it's going to be on this fall coming up. And that's pretty much all that I know. I'm sure I'm going to be told more when the crew gets here next weekend, next Friday.
Well, that's very exciting.
Say again? You guys are both talking at the same time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We have a lag here. How long are they going to be there for? Do you know?
3 days. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And do you know what they're going to be covering? I mean, is it just you in general? I mean, just all your prepping procedures and things like that? Or are they coming with the topic?
They have a topic, and I don't know if I can talk about the topic, so I'm not going to say anything until I get to go
no,
in.
No, completely. Completely
but,
understand.
I do know that they're going to be spending, they're interested in a lot of our preps and what we're doing, and interested in looking at the plays. And I've told them we're not your usually, we're not the usual preppers. We're very low-key preppers, and we don't, you know, we don't have a bug out location, although I covet Donna's bug out location now too. But we are just pretty, like I said, pretty low key and, just really work hard. The thing is too, is that we live way out in the country. And so everybody usually wants to bug out to where we are. And so I'm guessing kind of that's the deal too. But we live on 400 acres out here on a working cattle ranch. And so it's pretty cool. We got fishing and hunting and everything out here.
400 acres?
Yeah. Yep.
That's a lot of land.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Lots of things that we can do out here.
Where are you located at? Not exactly.
We're in the Texas Hill Country. And if you look at a map, you'll see a place called New Braunfels, Texas. And it's home of Schlitterbahn and a little itty-bitty town.
Yeah, I've been through there several times, actually.
Yeah, everybody knows it because of Schlitterbahn and the water, you know, water park and everything like that. But during the winter time, we have about a population of about 40,000. But when the summertime hits, it gets up in the millions. So,
wow.
But, yeah, we live out in the country, though. We don't live in the city or anything like that. But we enjoy it out here and have a lot of fun and just doing our preps. We got our chickens and dogs and turkeys and guinea fowl and, you know, all this other stuff and just having a blast.
So do you actually live in New Braunfels or do you live like out by like up half River Road or?
Yeah, we live out in the country.
Okay. I grew up in that area and we actually just moved from Texas and we were in Hutto. Yeah, we were in Hutto. So I was actually out in New Braunfels on a regular basis, going out to River Road and do a lot of my fly fishing out there off of Old River Road.
Yeah, no, well, we live out heading towards Seguin.
Okay, I definitely know Seguin.
I know Seguin.
All right.
I have a question for you, Ray. I'm kind of curious how you got into prepping to begin with.
It's something that kind of been doing all our lives, actually, or at least all my life, in a minor way. I'm originally from the San Francisco Bay Area, and when you live out there, you're indoctrinated into prepping because of earthquakes and duck and cover, and everybody's supposed to have a five-gallon bucket of grab and go and everything like that. And it's just something that you're told. You know, told to do, so you do it, and you learn it, and they teach it in the schools, or at least they did. And then my mom is a Depression-era child, and she just always prepped and canned. And, I mean, I remember we'd go on vacation, and we'd go up to, like, a lake in Nevada called Wild Horse Lake, and all we would do is go fishing. I mean, great fishing, wonderful time. But the whole reason of going up there was so that we can catch fish and can them. So we would do things like that, and she had a, you know, dehydrator, and we had the Vitamix, and, you know, the whole schmear and things. But we weren't really preppers. It was just making sure that we were, you know, if ever a depression would hit again, I guess, you know, we're always ready. My mom was always able to feed an army, and we had three kids, but whenever all our friends came over, it ended up being, you know, a bazillion kids over the house, and it would barely put a dent in the food stores, or food storage, but just something we've always raised with. So it's just that sort of mentality. And then I went into the military, and I was part of special operations during the 80s, and again, that helped reinforce, and I learned even more stuff, you know, eat monkeys and catch snakes and stuff like that, you know, stationed out at Fort Bragg. And did that for a while, and then The biggest thing is probably when Rita and Katrina hit, because even though they were, that was over in New Orleans, a lot of the fallout happened here in the Hill Country. Everybody headed our direction, and then the winds and everything. We were getting 70 mile an hour winds out here and everything, and so we just learned, you know, be prepared. And then finally, something that really hit us hard was, I don't know if you remember that Mexican swine flu. New Braunfels was ground zero for that. And we had our own little mini pandemic here. The schools were shut down, businesses were shut down, people walking around with face masks and everything. I mean, the town was locked down. And so it was interesting living through that, too. And we learned a lot from that. So that's kind of how we've progressed in our prepper growth, I guess. It's a lifestyle. It's like what Donna was saying. It's a lifestyle. It's just something. You don't go out and buy a bunch of food and think you're a prepper. It's a lifestyle.
It definitely is. So you have a book. Is it a book that's coming out or a book that you already got out?
My book came out last August, and it's called Survive the Coming Storm. And I'm one of those preppers who believe that we are going to face financial demise of depression or hyperinflation. I'm seeing probably both. Right now, if you look at the statistics, we are pretty much at depression level with unemployment and food and food stamps and all this other stuff. We're pretty much sitting right there where our, you know, the depression era statistics. And so right now, I really see us at a depression, and eventually what I think is going to happen is the people are going to lose faith in the U.S. currency, and it's going to cause it to hyperinflate. And so I'm teaching people in my book how to prepare for this. And a lot of people are looking for an apocalyptic event and zombies and mutant biker gangs and all that other stuff. I see, that's what all the movies portray. So everybody thinks Hollywood. Oh, it's Hollywood. It's got to be the truth. Kind of like the internet. But people really buy into this Hollywood idea. But if you look at history, which is what I really try to view is history, people usually adapt and overcome in about 90 days. And it ain't the greatest thing in the world, but they're just going to get used to the new normal. And the new normal may not be very pretty or anything like that, but it's the first 90 days that people are really going to have to be careful of, and then surviving after that. And I see historically, again, America has been through two hyperinflations and one depression, and the time frame of this is kind of like a time of chaos, in a sense. Usually lasts about 20 years. I believe that we entered that time of chaos. There's a famous generational historians wrote a book, Howe and Strauss is their names. They wrote called Generations. Another book they wrote is called Fourth Turning Point. Well, I believe that we are in the fourth turning point historically, and we entered that in 2005. 2015 will be probably 2016, 2018 will be the peak, and then 2025 we'll see the next generational turning point happen. So in and around there, so that's what. And it's happened every 100 years. Our nation seems to go through chaos every 100 years. And so this is nothing new. And we're going to bounce back, just like our great-grandparents did during the Great Depression. We're going to bounce back like the Civil War. We're going to bounce back like the Revolutionary War. It's our nation is good at bouncing back. So that's what I believe that we're going to do. And it's just getting through it and learning how to do it and learning how to do all these old-fashioned things that our great-grandparents and everything used to know. I mean, we got to start losing our dependency on Walmart and everything, and learn how to knit and sew and cook and some of these other cool things that our great-grandparents knew, but we forgot all about. So,
where is your book available?
Get it on Amazon and just type in my name, Ray Gano. But if you go to my website, propazine.com, P-R-O-P-H-E-Z-I-N-E, you can order it from me. And I'll be glad to autograph it for you. So it's a little bit more expensive to order from me, and can't get free shipping, but can't get free shipping, excuse me, like you can on Amazon. But order from me or order from Amazon. And I think Barnes & Noble has it, and some of the other bookstores and book places have it too. World Net Daily is selling it. News with Views is selling it. Some of the other conservative websites out there have it for sale as well. So But yeah,
Steve, can you get that? Can you get his? Can you get his website up on the chat, please? So
Propazine.com.
Yeah, most people. Yeah. They do better when they can read it.
Yeah,
that's our audience.
$15 to order, $5 shipping and handling. It's just even $20. And I'll be glad to, like I said, autograph it for you. If you even tell me, I have a little space in the order form. If you want me to make it out to somebody, or, you know, it's a birthday present or something like that, I'll be glad to do that for you as well.
Very cool. So, yeah, we've been asking this question of everyone. Yeah, so mm-hmm. you helped us get to 1 million downloads. You've been with, you've been doing this, you've been prepping for a while. You've been with PRN for a good while. Yeah, what would mm-hmm. you like to see PRN do in the next evolution for the next million downloads?
Very good question. I think it would be really cool if all the hosts would have individual podcast download points. I know that I've been uploading my show to some of my feeds and pipes and stuff, but right now, all you're able to do is just download PRN. But if people have favorite shows and stuff, because, like, for example, I enjoy listening to Donna Miller, and I enjoy listening to Vicki Lim, and it'd be cool to just automatically have those download all the time to my iPhone or iPad or whatever, and be able to get those on the fly. And then I'm sure people would love to just get my show on the fly and everything, and so I think that would really expand the ability to people to subscribe to the individual podcasts. Now, I don't know if we can do it or not, but that's what I think would really, really help in the big phase too. And if that would happen, I think it would explode, because prepping and everything is becoming very mainstream, and people want to know. They're hungry for information right now. And so getting that information out would be probably key, and more people downloading the shows. That's what I would do.
Very cool. Yeah, I think, and I think we're working towards that on the RSS feeds.
Mm-hmm. Everything else, you guys are doing great. I've been impressed with what's been going on so far, and I love the hosts and the new hosts that join us, like Adam and Doc Bones and Amy. And I love Doc Bones and Amy. I've been on their show once or twice, and they've been on my show two or three times, and I love their information. Adam, I just had him on my show a couple weeks ago. Great show. We're getting some good talent, good hosts. And again, it's we all kind of cover the same thing, but with different ideas and attitudes. And so I've noticed that we really blend well. I'm very pleased that all the hosts seem to work together, and we're very eager to help each other and be on each other's shows and things. It's great information. I go to Vicki Lim all the time for my grain questions now. She's like the queen of grain. And so she turned me on to quinoa and chia seeds and all this other stuff. So I listen, you know, because, again, being a prepper is a lifestyle. It's not it's something you're constantly learning. There are no pros in the preparedness arena. There's people who know a lot, but man, there's just so much to learn. You can never learn at all. And so you start finding, you know, other people who teach what you may be lacking. And grains and stuff is an area that I lack in. But Vicki Lim, man, like I said, she's the queen of grain. And I love her stuff. And same with Donna Miller. Donna Miller has been insane, you know, some of her food and whole grain stuff. So I've been really into the whole grains recently. And I've been learning a lot from those two.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it's addicting. I mean, you only have to listen to them for 10 minutes before you start looking up chia seeds and trying to find all this stuff. I mean, it's amazing
mm-hmm.
how fast that happens. So the one thing that I really like, and you hit the nail on the head there, was, you know, how everybody just flows and works together to help grow it. And you know, we really appreciate your efforts and helping us get to the million downloads. It's quite an achievement. We're really excited about it, and we thank you very much for for helping us get there.
Well, something else that I'm impressed with, that, and this is something that, that RedShed has brought to the table, is you are now able to incorporate the expos. And that's what I think is going to really unite everything. Is not only can people go to the expos and learn, but they can go to the expos and meet the hosts, too. Hint, hint. You've got a Dallas gig coming up here, and I do live in Texas, but I think that is something that people would really like. That is going to really help draw a lot of people to PRN, is to know, like, oh, wow, man, you know, Doc Bones and Nurse Amy, well, I can listen to them on PRN, too. So not only am I meeting them, I can listen to them every week, and Adam and Ray Gaino and things like that. So, but I think that's a really key feature is the expos along with PRN. It's a great uniting force.
Are you asking to come to the expo?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, you know what? We got a lot to do to get figured out for the next schedule for the Dallas show, but we'll be in touch with you on that one.
Okay. Cool.
The other thing, you know, and like you said, I agree that the expo, you know, everything helps everybody. You know, it's just kind of a big machine, and so we're really excited about this and getting getting everything working together and flowing together. So, well, Ray, I really appreciate your time. We've got a couple more guests to get on before the end of the show, but hey, can you give us your website one more time so everybody can go check it out?
It's Provazine. It's ProPhezine. It's like Prophecy Magazine. And I've been on the internet since 1991 doing this stuff and everything. But people can go check me out. And again, PZ Radio, Tuesdays from 2 to 3 Central Standard Time. Check it out. Be there, be square.
Awesome. Hey, thanks a lot, Ray.
All right. See you guys. Have a good one, Ron. Stop.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Ray's an interesting guy. And you know something? What's sad is, you know, I didn't realize how close he was to where I was when I was in Texas. So now when I have to go out there next time, I'll have to. Yeah, literally. It wasn't that far. All right. So next up, we have, I believe, Sylvia Britton is on next. Is that correct? Sylvia, are you on?
I'm here.
Sylvia, you are host of 21st Century Homekeeper.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for joining us. So an exciting time, 1 million downloads.
That's right.
So can you imagine there was that many people that wanted to hear what we had to say?
Yes, I can. We've got some of the best hosts ever. I mean, the shows are just amazing. When you go through and you start listening, I can't choose what I want to listen to. Everybody is just so knowledgeable, and just so much great information. So yes, I was totally expecting it, and I'm just so proud of everyone.
Now, go ahead, Ron.
I'm sorry. Where are you from there, Sylvia?
I'm from Tennessee.
Tennessee.
You could probably tell.
I can tell just a little bit, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead there, Bubba. I was just very curious about the accent there.
No, that's okay. I mean, when you hear that beautiful Southern accent, you got to ask the question, right?
Well, you have to know.
That's right.
So,
go ahead.
How long have you been prepping?
This marks our, this marks our 15th year. Yeah, 15 years.
15 years.
That's right.
And how did you get into it?
We got into it, well, you know, we've always sort of been into it because I was raised way out in the country on farm, and if you live on a farm, I mean a real farm, you grow up prepping, you just didn't know that's what it was called. So so my family's always done that kind of thing and and tried to live a life that was as independent as possible from the system. And so we do not live that way now, but we still are preppers. And I guess we, as a couple, my husband and I, got into it when we started reading about, it was about 1997 or so, and we started reading about Y2K. And so the information that we were reading and the things that we were reading made really good sense to us, regardless of some kind of future event. It just made sense to be prepared. And so we started really focusing on that and teaching our children that, and this is where we are 15 years later.
Now, you have a radio show called 21st Century Homekeepers, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about the show?
Sure. I started in May of last year. So in May marks my one-year anniversary with PRN. And what I try to do is I try to take old-fashioned skills that some of them are lost arts, and I try to bring those skills into the 21st century and make them doable for people in the 21st century. And that's my main focus. And so everything that includes, things that people don't do anymore, things that people maybe they'd like to try to attempt, but they don't know how to find information about how to learn those skills. I try to provide things like that, too. I also try to provide just practical wisdom for the home, the homestead, just practical things. For example, my show last week was about how do you tell if food has spoiled, and all kinds of food, vegetables, meats, dairies, all that kind of thing. And the fact that so many people, we get in the habit of throwing away food that's not really bad, it just looks less than perfect. And so, you know, people really waste a lot of money doing that. And so we talked about that whole show. We talked about what do you do with the food that's not quite perfect, and can you lower your standards just a little, you know, and just to save money. And then there are foods that, you know, that might look good and smell good, but they can kill you. So we talked about all of that kind of thing. So my show kind of, I walk the line between things that were done centuries ago and new things, how we do things today, modern.
So, you know, when you're doing your show and you're participating, I know that you do a lot in Facebook and you promote your stuff and everything else. Do you have a lot of people that come up to you and say, where do you find this information? And, you know, what made you pull this topic up? I mean, you know, learning old-fashioned skills, you know, is great. But, you know, when I've looked back there, finding what topics to talk about, there's just so many.
Mm-hmm.
How do you pull them up, or do you get the stuff via,
several,
you know,
different ways. Yeah, there's several different ways. One of the things is whatever I'm doing right now, if it's something that I'm working on right now or something that I've completed or something that I've just learned or something that I'm trying to master that I've known for years but I'm really working on it, that's a good source for a show. But another thing is I get a lot of email questions, and so those email questions can really turn into a show in itself. And sometimes I'll get an email question and I really won't know a whole lot about that, and so what that does is that gets me in my research mode, and I try to go find somebody who does know that and get them on my show. So that's another way that I find good ideas for people to listen in, something to make it worth it, you know.
Very cool. You said that you're coming up on your 1 year,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yes.
May. So you also have the Christian Homemaker Network, is that right?
It's Christian Homekeeper. And the address is ChristianHomekeeper.org. I've been online since 1996. I've had one of my sites is the 20. It started out as the 20th Century Homekeeper, and I've spanned two centuries, and now the 21st Century Homekeeper, and then the Christian Homekeeper, and then it's a network. It was a network of individual blogs that belonged to other people. And so now we've gone back to just ChristianHomekeeper.org.
And when you're promoting this, so do you, is it kind of like a network? People still writing on this or different bloggers just
not
blogging
anymore.
On this one
that
site?
We used to do that, and we had quite a few bloggers on that. But I've gone back to just me now. And my plans are, I have a lady who actually runs my website because I know nothing about technical things. I know enough to be online. But she is reworking my site for me, and it's going to be promoting PRN and my radio show and everybody else's radio show. And once we get, you know, the iframe connected to the new PRN site, I'll be able to promote everyone's show, and plus my videos. So that's where I'm headed.
Sweet. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I mean, I'll be excited to check that out when it when it all comes together. Now, the obviously a million downloads is a big deal for us, and I was just kind of curious what you'd like to see next from PRN.
You know, I would just love to see PRN keep on evolving to meet people's needs, because right now, you know, I would not, in 99, when we started really thinking about prepping, I really would not have thought it would ever be mainstream. But it is.
Right. Who would
Very
have thought
Very much
of that?
So.
I would never have thought that either.
I would never have thought that. You know, in 97, we were weird. And here in 2012, we're just like a whole lot of other people. People just right around us, you know, and you don't have to get on the internet to find somebody who's prepping, is what I'm saying, and I never would have thought that all those years ago. And so that shows me that prepping, survival living, that's evolving, and it's changing, and it's evolving and changing, obviously, because our environment, things in our world are changing. And I would like to see PRN continue to evolve, because this is going to come to a peak at some point. And this may be it. This may be the peak. I don't know. But it's going to come to a peak, and then it's probably going to level for a little while, and it may go up again. But I would like to see PRN to follow those peaks and the levels places. And I would like to see all of our shows, my show especially, because it's mine, I would like to see my show be able to continue to reach people and speak to them and give them good information that they can use wherever this leads us.
Well, very good. And that, you know, that's our goal, you know, both with our expos and with what we're doing with PRN, which is not to cater to an event, but to cater to a community. You know, that way we can evolve with it. So,
right. Very good.
I think that was very well said. Well, Sylvia, we wanted to personally call you up and thank you for being part of PRN and for helping us get to the 1 million downloads. And
well,
we're looking forward
so
to we're looking forward to getting to the next million with you.
Me too.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Can you give out your websites one more time so
sure.
the audience knows what they are?
www.christianhomekeeper.org. And I have a very active Facebook page with a couple thousand people that participate. It's facebook.com/CHK Network. And
yep,
we're also
I'm
on
a member.
Twitter and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much, and we look forward to hearing more of your shows and talking to you again in the future.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks.
All right,
guys.
Bye.
All right. Well, what a sweet person, huh? She seems like a very sweet person.
Oh, she seems so nice. That's the first time I've actually talked to her.
Yeah, actually, me too. And that whole Tennessee accent, it's just so cute.
Melts you like butter.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And speaking about melting you like butter, we got the hot Nurse Amy online now. Are you on there, Amy?
I'm melting like butter down here in in southern Florida, man. Ooh, it is hot. How are you guys doing? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Got my coffee. And I got my man here, too, if you want to talk to him.
Okay.
Hey, how are you?
Joe.
Am I supposed to be on here? I'm not sure.
You're half.
No, you're supposed to be on there. I'm not gonna compliment you by calling you hot. But
I don't know. Wait. Okay. I know we're gonna have a discussion here about our shows. But I have to tell you, when Joe and I, or Dr. Bones, were on Adam's show a couple weeks ago, they introduced me and they were very, kind and courteous. And then they said, "But we think." What did he say? He said that you were cuter than I am or something.
Yeah.
Robbie said that. Robbie was
like, you know what? They're fine judges of manhood.
And I was like, I'm never eating again, obviously. They thought he was cuter than I am. What can I say? God bless
well,
you.
Well, they do spend a lot of time with canines.
Oh, that was rude.
I
was just going to say that you needed to check Joe's checkbook to see how much he paid for that comment.
I know.
Check
the
mail.
I have to tell you, I was like, oh, man, that's not fair. So anyway, I appreciate you guys giving me the compliment before you give it to him.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, so moving on, what would you like
moving
to hear?
Moving on. No, well, you know something? Go ahead, Ron.
I've got a question that I've always been curious about. Why Florida? It doesn't seem very prepper-friendly. Why Florida?
Oh, why Florida? We just, it's our parents' fault. Joe got stuck here, Dr. Bones got stuck here because of his family and I got stuck here because of my family.
But we're making
the best of it, though.
But wait. Well, we're going there. Just like everywhere else, there are positives and negatives to every location. Our location has multiple growing seasons. Guess what? In January, I'm producing tons and tons of food in our garden.
That is true.
And in the summer, we actually produce less food in the summer and the hot weather than we do in the cool weather. We can grow potatoes in the winter, but we can't grow potatoes in the summer because it's just too hot.
Right. So there's always some sort of food.
So we have multiple growing seasons. There's not, up where you guys are, you certainly don't have that, although you have really good soil. And the soil that we have to use is basically soil that we amend so that it is more fertile.
That's true.
We won't die of exposure to cold down here.
That's what I was just going to say.
So that's something, but we could overheat. And so there's, a chance of heat exhaustion and heat stroke. So every place in the country has its goods and its bads. We happen to be, now, of course, if I was right directly in the middle of the city of Miami or the city of Fort Lauderdale, though, that would be different. But we're, like I said, pretty close to the last house before you get to the actual Everglades. So,
and we're about 2 seconds from Alligator Alley.
Right.
Which provides a nice exit strategy.
Right. So from our standpoint, yes, I would agree. I don't think anybody really should be in the absolute middle of the city because when the hits the fan. But If you can be on the very, very outskirts, then I think that that you're in better shape. And down here, like I said, multiple growing seasons, plenty of water. And,
that's true. 6 inches deep when you're hitting water.
Right.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Right, well, that's bad. And that's
it's good if you need to drink it.
And it's bad if you need to store things underground.
Yeah, or have a basement.
Because you can't have it.
True.
So there you go. See, you got to find, and the glass is half full, Ron, not half empty.
All right, well, I'm going to bring it back to something a little more practical.
Thank
okay.
you.
No, I'm just teasing. You guys are kind of the new, I mean, besides Ron and I, who are really the newbies on the station, I mean, you guys, most of the people we've talked to today have been on for a year to 2 years. But you guys, when you guys jumped on, you guys, you know, came in with a big splash. You guys had already been on the radio for a while and started setting up your community and everything else. So, you know, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about, you know, your experience so far with PRN and how and what you hope to see as it grows.
Well, PRN is, to me, like a family. I mean, there are a lot of people that are interested in educating. There are more interested, and interestingly, unlike some other places, that everyone in each show is actually interested in promoting everyone else on every other show. And we all are have the same goals, and we're trying to help each other. And I think the concept of family and community on our radio network is very, very strong.
It
and
is.
I think that is such a positive for the Preparedness Radio Network.
I think what we're saying is there's almost a complete absence of competition amongst each other, and we're all trying to help each other up the mountain together. Just if I can help you go a little further, then we can all go a little further together and reach that many more people and have that many more listeners. And, you know, if you've got a bad apple in the group, it can bring everyone else down. And there are no bad apples in PRN. We are every single host from an honest, you know, sincere, heartfelt feelings are genuinely people that I would love to have as my neighbors and my family.
Well, I appreciate that. And on that note, please ignore the email I just sent you, Amy, saying, neener, 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 our numbers are higher than yours.
You know what?
I'm just kidding. That email did not go out.
And you know what? I am so happy every time I hear something like that. I feel nothing but happiness, you know. And if you got there because of what you did and what everyone else did together, then we all deserve to share in that success. And that's what it's about here. It's not about an individual's numbers. It's about the success of our station together, because without each and every one of us, it wouldn't be what it is.
That's right. I mean, that's why we're celebrating 1 million downloads. It isn't for one show,
right.
That's for sure.
That's right. And I think it's a wonderful thing that you guys are doing to bring everyone on and just give them a chance to share their feelings about what we're doing.
Now, I have a quick question. You guys have an interesting background, being that it's, you know, in the medical field. So, how did you go from doctor and nurse to, you know, how did you get into prepping to begin with? I guess that's the question.
Oh wow. Well, you have to understand in the area that we live in, and in most areas where people have kind of frequent or common types of natural disasters, you just sort of grow up and learn to be prepared.
Well, this is a hurricane area.
And because we're in South Florida in a wildly hurricane alley active area, we have to have certain amounts of preparation.
Right. There are a lot of people here that are what we would call 2 week preppers.
Right.
In other words, they have more than, you know how they say that the average person has 3 days of food
mm-hmm.
and water in their supplies. A lot of people here have a couple of weeks' worth because that's the amount of time they would expect to be off the grid if a hurricane comes. And so we've always been part of that group. But we saw so many other things happening. We've seen, you know, swine flu epidemics. The bird flu has come up.
Hurricane Andrew.
We lived through
in 1992.
Yeah, we lived through Hurricane Andrew and all the other hurricanes that have been by. We're concerned about economic collapse and a lot of the other things that.
I think we lost him.
I think we did.
All of the possibilities of all of these things together, what's the likelihood that none of these things, economic collapse, pandemic, storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, that none of these things will happen in some degree to you or someone you love in your lifetime? And the truth is, it's likely something will happen. And so why not be prepared?
I think what he's saying is things just accumulated, and we just became more prepared and more prepared and more prepared. And every time, you know, we had a couple seasons where there were several hurricanes come through, and that was very frightening to think that, you know, our lives could be destroyed there. But the pandemic, I think personally for me, a few years ago, really freaked me out because we thought of the 1918 Spanish flu and how many millions of people could be wiped out. And I think that's really what...
You're talking about the swine flu.
Yeah, what was that like? 4 years ago?
3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't very long ago.
No.
Right.
So that's what really, really, I mean, that we went from 2 weeks to 2 months to 6 months to a year, and we just, you know, are continuing to try to complete that path of preparedness. I don't think it ever ends, actually. Nothing's ever possible to know everything, although we try desperately every day.
Mm-hmm. To learn something new.
Something new.
Yeah, based on, you know, it's amazing. As you've built this up and everything else, you guys have been very, very lucky that everything's kind of going mainstream and there's it's almost gregarious how much, you know, everybody wants this information so much and it's gotten so, you know, that people want to absorb everything that you guys have to say. You guys have a successful book out. You guys are doing products. You have your medical kits. Your suturing classes have done very, very well at our events. I mean, are you guys surprised about how ravenous these people are for the information that you guys are putting out there? Are you surprised?
No, actually, I thought that we would get a good response. I didn't think we would get an almost unanimously positive response.
That's what freaks us
out.
It
because we have even other physicians. Well, we go against the conventional medical wisdom not uncommonly, but yet we still have quite a number of physicians that tell us that, hey, this is a pretty good book, you know, concerning what your goal is, which is to basically tell people what to do when medical help is not on the way. And so it's turned out to be just amazing. We're currently number two on the Amazon bestseller list in the category of survival skills. We're number five in the category of safety and first aid. So it has been, from our standpoint, just overwhelming how positive the response has been.
Right. Well, we thought people would want to hear it, but we thought there would be naysayers out there.
We thought there would be.
Oh, how can you tell people to use essential oil?
Right.
And
they have been few and far between.
Or use a chamomile tea to make you feel better. I mean, we really expected a lot of medical professionals to be not nice. And it's been shocking how people have been actually pretty nice. That's what I'm shocked about.
Do you guys feel that some of it's because, you know, in my opinion, and I consider you guys close friends, and I definitely follow everything that you guys do, And, you know, and I think I complimented you guys when the book came out. You know, I feel like you guys are the first group that's out there that follows the philosophy, you know, teach a man to fish as opposed to giving them the fish. Because most of the other books just regurgitate information and say, or and then say, here's a product, do this. And between your suturing classes and your website and the things you guys talk about, you seem more concerned about making sure people are trained up and can do it themselves than giving them the quick solution.
You're absolutely right with regards to that. You know that, I guess, any field that has a particular skill or expertise likes to keep those skills to themselves, because if everybody can do it, why would they need them? But we have no ego with regards to that type of thing. We're making every effort to make the common person, the everyday Joe, the everyday regular guy, more of a medical asset to their family. Are we trying to turn everyone into doctors? No, we're not. We're just trying to turn them into people that will be more useful in a medical situation if modern medical help is not available.
Right, unless you guys can figure out a way to clone us. Then we're happy to go help. We will put a Dr. Bones and a Nurse Amy in every prepper community that requests it, I promise. No problem. For free.
Now that you guys have been with us for for a while now, you guys...
6 months.
Your show's been longer than us, yeah. So... Yeah, what do you see that would help us for the next million downloads?
Oh boy.
The next million downloads, get people, just like anything that would help any preparedness community, is to get new people with different skills and different expertise than what we have on our shows today, although we have really quite a mixed bag.
Yeah, just keep expanding the variety.
Yeah, expand the variety. Get people that are I don't know this particular skill. Maybe somebody that's...
A beekeeper.
A beekeeper, yeah, or a carpenter.
A chicken guy,
yeah. Or a rabbit farmer, you know, or somebody that can teach people how to deal with livestock and things like that. Communications guy.
Alternative energy.
Right. Each of these people will find their own audience. You know, you may not have every single person that listens to every single person that is in those millions does not listen to every single show, but they have their favorites, and there are a lot of these. People actually, once they decide they like a certain show, they'll go and listen to other shows, and they'll find ones that they'll become regular listeners to. And the more people that you have that are varied in their skill sets and their knowledge sets and in the way that they entertain and educate, the more likely that we'll hit that second million quicker than we did the first.
And almost like a one-stop shopping. You come to PRN, we got all the issues covered.
Well, I'm going to find a blacksmith just for Amy, because she's been bugging me for 6 months to find a blacksmith for our shows.
How many times have I said, oh, Willie, I got your seeds yesterday. Yes, sorry. But I got them. Yay! I was going to say it tonight on my show. A listener sent me some heirloom seeds from his garden. Isn't that sweet?
Well, and again, that shows how big our community is getting, that you know, the people are actually participating. It's one thing to have lurkers, but I really feel that PRN and our expos have people that participate.
That's right. And I send seeds back, too.
Well, send them to me in like September, October, November, so I can plant them for next year, because that seems to work for me.
How's your garden doing, Scott?
Actually, great. The rhubarb is going crazy all over the place. I've already gotten, you know, it's amazing. I'm afraid that it's about tomato and corn planting time, and I'm afraid that I'm going to actually screw it up because I'm actually doing it when you're supposed to. So, I don't know.
Scott, the rule breaker.
Seems to work for me. Do it the wrong way, and that seems to work. Well, hey, guys, you know, we... we really appreciate everything you do for us at the events and on your show and just in general. You guys are a massive asset to Redshed Media Group and the PRN. We love you both. And
you guys too, and we really appreciate it. We love being part of the Preparedness Radio Network family, and we'll be here for as long as you want us.
So who's on your radio show? Who's your next guest?
Adam, Equipped to Endure. Very excited. I wish I could interview the puppy. I call him the puppy.
Ace, the one.
I would like to interview Ace, but he's not agreeing to it. He's holding out for some money or something, or maybe a dog bone.
All right, guys. What time's your show tonight?
9 p.m. Eastern.
9 p.m. Eastern. So, guys, join Joe and Amy on Doom and Bloom at 9 p.m. Eastern tonight, and we'll have Adam Francis from Equipped to Endure on. So, hey, thank you guys very much for coming on today. Congratulations on the million downloads. Couldn't have done it without you.
Woohoo! Love you guys. Keep up the good work yourselves.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap this thing up today. It's an exciting day, Ron, talking to all these people. A million downloads, that's quite the achievement in a very short period of time.
It is. Well, I was shocked when we heard the news. So I guess I shouldn't be, because there are more and more people that are becoming more aware of PRN, but I think that we'll be celebrating 2 million downloads a lot faster than we came up on the million, though.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I saw earlier that we had already hit like another 37,000 in the week since we've hit the million, and that's pretty impressive.
I think so. I think it'll just keep growing faster and faster. We start building that momentum up, and the way we set it up to where we have this big machine, and we got the expo, we've got magazines, we've got books, we've got the radio, PRN. I mean, it's just this big machine, and once people get in there and see all the information that's available, it's really hard to leave.
That's right. So let's get this puppy wrapped up. We want to thank our guest, David Lee. We'll have him back next week from unrulyelf.com. Check out, he's got some fantastic things that he's designed, and we'll get into some more some more information about some of his other practical ideas he has for building houses out of common materials. And we'd also like to thank all of our hosts that were on there. Vicki Lynn Haycraft from Get Real, Get Prepared. Ray Gano with PZ Radio. Donna Miller from Your Preparation Station. Sylvia Britton from 21st Century Home Keeper. And John Wesley Smith from Destiny Survival Radio. Joe and Amy Alton, Doc Bones and Nurse Amy from Doom and Bloom Hour. And all our other hosts that we didn't get a chance to talk to today, thank you very much for helping us get to the 1 million. It's an amazing, amazing area to get to. And I think you'll see lots of great things coming from these people as we go forward, getting their books up on the websites and everything else. Wouldn't you agree, Ron?
Yeah, absolutely. It was nice to hear their opinions on what it would take to help continue growing PRN. So we'll definitely be implementing a lot of those. So we're pretty excited about that.
All right. And you will be at the expo for the rest of the day. I'll be looking forward to hearing a report on how that is. Say hi to all our – say hi to Lori from GNR Foods and Scott from Scott Williams from Down to Earth Seeds and all our other vendors, and let them know we all say a big hi from PRN.
Sounds good. I'll do it.
All right, let's get these identifications out of there. Our info is you can find read up on Backwoods Home Magazine at www.backwoodshome.com. You can check out all of our expos that are coming up at www.selfreliancexpo.com. You can check out our Facebook pages. We have Self-Reliance Expo, you have Preparedness Radio, and you have Backwoods Home Mag. You can check out any of those and to get more information about what we're doing. We will see you next week. This is Bubba DaVinci with Colorado Ron saying have a great week. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
You've been listening to BHM Radio, the official show for Backwoods Home Magazine on the Preparedness Radio Network. Tune in every other week at this time to get more information on the articles you love. Questions or comments for the hosts? Email them at coloradoron@gmail.com. Until next time, remember, preparedness saves lives.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Want to reduce your dependence on the electrical grid? Trying to save money on groceries? Preparing for a major power outage? We can help. Layman's is your source for everything you need for heat, food, light, and water when there is no power. Glenda Lehman Irvin here for Layman's in Kidron, Ohio. My father, Jay Lehman, founded our store in 1955 to serve the local Amish with non-electric appliances, tools, and houseware items. Today, through our website, laymans.com, a print catalog, and a retail store, we provide oil lamps, water pumps, wood stoves, canning supplies, and hand tools to customers all over the world. If you think it isn't made anymore, check with Lehman's before you give up. Visit laymans.com or call us at 1-877-438-5346 for a free catalog, or just stop by. We're located about an hour south of Cleveland.
Discover the taste of the sun. Thousands of preppers have acquired a sun oven to have on hand in the event of an emergency and have been pleasantly surprised by the improved taste of sun-cooked foods. Sun ovens are a preparedness item you can start using today. A sun oven will pay for itself by reducing your utility bills and by keeping your house cooler in the summer. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees Fahrenheit with the power of the sun. Sun ovens are often confused with homemade solar cookers, but they get considerably hotter, cook food faster, and hold temperatures longer. Sun ovens fold up in seconds, carry like a suitcase, and have many innovative features which make them the ultimate solar appliance. For the past 25 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They are durable and have a long life and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. For a discount coupon, email preppers@sunoven.com. That's preppers@sunoven.com.
I'm Dr. Prepper, and I'm here today to tell you about the Wonder Mill. Their patented grain mills create the most luxurious and quality flours from any hard grains or beans. They contract with the world's best-suited factories to manufacture the Wonder Mill to the highest specifications in the industry that they plan and design right up there in Pocatello, Idaho. They are the only American company with both electric and hand-operated models. I like them so much, I bought both, and you should too. I use the electric model for the finest flour. and I use the hand-operated model for making my grits and creamy wheat for breakfast. And I can have it fresh every day with the Wonder Mills lifetime warranty. And the fact that these are simply the world's fastest, quietest, cleanest operating grain mills, it's no wonder that most preparedness and kitchen professionals prefer the Wonder Mill over all the other grain mills on the market. I love both mine. I know you'll love yours too. Go to thewondermill.com. That's thewondermill.com and Wonder Mill Grain Grinders. Get yours today. Tell them the Dr. Prepper sent you, will you?
You've been listening to the Preparedness Radio Network, offering helpful and timely tips on preparing for natural and man-made disasters. Timely and useful tips on gardening and homesteading. Check us out online at BePreparedRadio.com. Until next time, remember, preparedness saves lives. This is the Preparedness Radio Network.